Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Saturday, February 9th, 2013. Mississippi, stand up as Grudge Inc. presents a pre-Mardi Gras explosion at the Mississippi Motorsports Park in Lena, Mississippi. Saturday, February 9th. Come out and win some money. Okay, for the 6-0 class, first place, $700. Second place, $300. And for the 7-0 class, first place, $700. Second place, $300. Here's the grudge match. The Gadget versus Big Low Malibu.
DJ Grant, number one stoner, versus Kimo, the bad boy.
Three Lil Chi-Town versus Lil Red Riding Hood.
King Biz Mustang versus Leon 69 Camaro.
Bit Drag Camaro versus Mississippi Nightmare.
Don Mac, Most Wanted, versus Boosie Badass Mustang.
And Sylvester Red Hot versus the Gadget Nova. Who's gonna get the whooping? It's all going down Saturday, February 9th, as Grudge Inc. presents a pre-Mardi Gras explosion at Mississippi Motorsports Park in Lena, Mississippi. On top of everything, Mississippi Motorsports Park is putting up $2,000 for the Big Tire Gamblers Race, with the racer $500 buy-in. One time for Reggie Rabbit, the Speeding Bullet, JC Fugitive, Tree Man, Roy James, and Mr. 5C. Gonna be a big pot. It's over $5,000 for the Big Tire Gamblers Race. Come find out Saturday, February 9th, 2013, as Grudge Inc. presents a pre-Mardi Gras explosion at the Mississippi Motorsports Park in Lena, Mississippi. Come out and win some money. Who's gonna get the whipping? It's gonna be some action going on. And one time for Big Clock and Gadget, as Grudge Inc. presents a pre-Mardi Gras explosion at the Mississippi Motorsports Park in Lena, Mississippi, Saturday, February 9th. For more info, log on to GrudgeInc.us.
Mickey Thompson Performance Tires carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon. Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers. Find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in Grudge Inc. Grudgebook.
Boy, that was a quick exit out of that. Hey, everybody. What's going on in Grudge Inc. world? Somebody messing with my board already. I'll have to find out and get to the bottom of that stuff. Anyway, Saturday night, welcome everybody to the jungle. Got a lot of things going on. Got a lead in Mississippi coming up. I hope everyone can make that race. It'll be a good time. Everybody down there. And, gosh, it's just going to, we're getting everything all loaded up to head down. my co-host, Kev. You there, babe?
What's happening, baby? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, listening to the jungle, man. I'm all ready to get into the jungle tonight. What's happening?
I don't know, man. Someone shut my music off.
Uh-oh. You all right?
If I find out who's messing with my board, I swear to God, I'm going to chop their motherfucking hands off. Don't mess with my show. But it's okay. No worries. I should, you know what? Hold on, man. I'm gonna bring it right back. Wait, hold on, man, because I gotta get into this. Hold on. Hold
bro, you're getting the mood.
Heck yeah, hold on. Oh, no, it's almost not letting me do it. There we go. I'll turn it down a little bit. You know what, man? I love this song, man. It's just about what we do, man, here in the jungle. It gets crazy in here. It gets nuts sometimes. But most of the time, we just have a good time. Okay, I'm past it now. Okay, everybody got the point. Yeah, everybody got the point. Okay, I just had to get that. Now we can enjoy the show, everybody. Now it's a good time. Yeah, I'm waiting for our third member to our little round table to climb in. Yeah, I got some exciting news for his ass. I hope he calls in to check his ass, remind him, probably sleeping or something, man. But he's going to be a busy man. He's going to be a busy, busy man. So I gotta wait till he gets on the phone. But, I hear you guys are freezing your ass off out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are. Snow. We got snow last night. We got an inch to two. We got inch and a half to 2 inches last night.
Golly, man. I'll tell you right now, man. I don't know how you guys do it. You guys should get some metal or something, man, because that's just some cold ass weather.
Yeah, it was one night. We were Monday this week we were 9 below, 9 or 10 below.
God. Man, that's just, I can't even imagine that.
Man, I stayed in the house. I stuck my head out the door and said, I'm staying in the house.
Man, I wouldn't even get out of bed. I already know what's out there. We had some rain out here. We had a lot of rain out here, like 2 days straight it rained out here. And it cleared up like in the late afternoon. Got some sunshine, went down, put the rest of the Vega together. And we'll see how she's gonna run. And maybe you never know, man. I've done stupider things. You of all people know that, man.
Yes,
sir. You didn't think I was coming out to Detroit until I called you from Ohio. So where do I go from here?
Yes, sir. You have been known to do some strange things and pop up.
I just might pull in the leaner or something, put a car cover over it, and see what happens. Now, hopefully, it'll be all right. I got to shake it down probably this week, go to the track out here, and do out runs, see what kind of numbers we can turn with this. Because, you know me, I'm too scared to put my shit on the dyno.
Yeah, I thought about that. I heard some horrific stories about that dyno.
Some people love them, some people hate them, and some people like me are just afraid of them, man. I don't have nothing to do with them. Man, it's all good. It's all good. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it's going to make what it makes. Car don't weigh much anyway, so I guess it ain't going to matter what it's going to do. As long as it gets down the other end in one piece, I'm a happy camper.
Hey, I'm with you in the same way.
Man, we got a little hot and heated. We got a little hot and heated last weekend out here, boy, we're on the show.
Oh, okay.
Your phone, my phone was blowing up.
Yeah,
it's
funny.
It's funny because, you know, it's like a lot of that stuff. And I keep getting the people that are listening on the internet. That stay listening, they
they still think I'm disconnecting them, and I'm not hanging up on nobody. I'm like, well, the show's still on.
Yeah, we gotta let people know if you listen. We just let people know if they listen on the internet. You know, call in about a half an hour, hour before the show is over, before it's over, and they can continue to listen to the show the rest of the night.
Because that
they don't have, they don't want to pause. They don't have to hit the one button, do they?
No, they don't have to hit the one button, but they want to. If they want to listen to the show still, they can call in. And I mean, it's almost like the PG rated show. And then after we go off the internet, it's like the Triple X show comes out.
Right.
You know, it's like it's funny. It's all hell. But it always seems to do that. Like everybody, you know, almost like everybody's watching their watch, and that is like, bam! All right, game on.
Exactly.
And the people on the internet are missing out on that. So I'm not hanging up on nobody. I swear to you, I'm not hanging up on nobody. I would never do that. But you know, it's too bad we can't stay on longer, man, on the internet, because I mean, we get a lot of people. My phone, I'll get texts while I'm even doing the show. People laughing, like the last one last week when the phone call we got about the T-shirt. Wants to know what we're gonna do for her to get her a T-shirt, and oh, it's just going a little on the crazy side.
Right.
But it's all good. I've been working on the T-shirts too. I think they're gonna come out. I gotta get a hold of Jay. I want to make sure, I still haven't talked to him about it. I want to make sure it's cool with him, because I want to put Grudge Inc. On the shirts too. But one of the topics we're going to talk about tonight is that, you know, I know everybody, everybody's got their multiple car group names and stuff like that. And I think Average Joe's going to work out for us, man.
Yeah, getting the Average Joe in there for a guy, you know, who can set up a race, lock in for 100 and 500, you know, like to hear from them guys. And we had a really good show about 2 weeks ago, and we got interrupted on it, but I had some people text us on that show that night. It was unbelievable, saying it was a good show, and they would like loved it. They loved it, you know. So let's try and see if we can keep that one going.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to do. Like I said, now I want to get that thing going, and still waiting for Tyson. I know he's probably doing something. I know he ain't outside, that's for sure.
No, he could be.
He needs to get his ass in the show. I'm going to start docking him some time if he don't get in the show.
You going to dock him? Dock his pay?
Oh, heck yeah, I'm going to dock his pay. Definitely going to dock his pay. We got, you going to make it down to Lena?
Yep. Slosh called me today, and we got some plane tickets. We're supposed to be leaving on sometime that Friday on the 8th, I think we are. Really good, real good chance, because he was at work, so he said he would call me tomorrow and tell me all the details.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when we're leaving. Hopefully Chad will call in tonight. I know he's been working on the car and doing a bunch of stuff. But I think our goal is to get into Lena like Friday morning.
Okay. Is Mike, Mike coming? You think Gypsy Mike coming?
You know what? They're all still talking about it. I haven't gotten a hold of him. I'm hoping these guys call in, but it's my fault. I've been busy now. We got baseball season fired up, and so I haven't really had a chance to get anybody going with the baseball and getting the car back together and stuff. I just, you know, I've been kind of dropping the ball a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I know you've been pretty busy this week, because I tried to call you a couple times and you said you called me back. You had baseball and working on the car.
Oh yeah, dude. I've just been busy, man. And then with my neck, I had the MRI done and my all kinds of shit. But they didn't say I couldn't go racing. So when the doctor says, well, I don't know if I would get behind the wheel. That's not saying not to get the bike. That's just saying that if it was him, he wouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not him, so.
Yeah, you might buy you one of those, you know, you might have to call money and get you one of those, what do they call it, hands devices or something? That you put around your neck?
I told the doctor, I said, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you ain't me and I ain't you, because if I was you, I'd have me a 4 second, 8 mile car, so I don't want to hear nothing about your money. don't tell me what I can and can't do. I don't want to talk about that stuff. But,
So what's your take on the conversation, about the, we don't want to call nobody little guy, or we just more or less say the average Joe, you know, a guy locking up for $100 and going for, you know, $400. I mean,
well,
is that?
This is how it is. This is how I see it. We shouldn't call it the little guy. We shouldn't call it the heavy hitters are going to be the heavy hitters. You know, you got Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Side. You know, I get it. There's different stages in this. But I hate to call it the little guy. But the average Joe works perfect, man. And the average Joe racing team, that's what we're going to be known as. And we can start and what I'll do is when people want to start getting into grudge racing and they want to get on our team, we'll send them a shirt.
Right.
Send them a couple of shirts. And then we'll just start getting out there like that, man, because, you know, Grudge Inc. is Grudge Inc., and it doesn't say on how fast your grudge car has to be. You know, we want to make grudge racing for everybody.
We got some guys. Yeah, you're right. We got some guys that we consider average Joes. We got fast cars, but they can't make it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy, he works, you know, his money can only take him so far, you know what I mean?
And at the same time, too, you got some heavy hitters out there that might want to feel that they're the average Joe kind of guy and want to jump into our camp, too. You never know.
Yeah, they might want to get in there and say, you know, hey, I'll run you, you know, let's go for that price.
Right.
You know, I think to get the grudge racing, get more and more people involved, I think let these guys know that you can, and they need to help out and say, "Hey, yeah, I don't have that money to bet, but I will race." You know?
Yeah.
If someone can make it feasible for me to race, I will race. I'm by myself, like me, you, you know, I'm by myself. You know, I can't afford no high dollar, you know, lock ins and high dollar bets. You know?
Exactly. I mean, you know, some people like to price himself out of a race knowing that you ain't got that kind of money. But you know what? Those are guys you don't go after, man. We just go after – we race. We race like everybody else, and we fit in just like everybody else. It's not us against them. It's just a different group of guys getting ready to race.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a car that good to run against Stunner. But, you know, those guys run against who they run against. Oh, we can get a group of guys that, you know, we can go after.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, not to like starting these guys. I mean, they got people who run with them and are able to, you know, help those guys make that bet. So, you know, I'm not saying those guys have all that money. They come in as a group, as a team to do that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, one of these days, you know, we'll get there, you know, but as of now, you know, we still like to race, you know. You know, I just think, hey, it's cool. You know, expose these guys who do want to race, but they're saying if the guys don't want to race, the guys do want to race. You know, but the guys can't afford to make that big dollar bet. You know, they want to make that average bet.
Right. Well, you know, it'll work out. You know, whatever will be. I mean, we'll get something, you know, together. But let's go to the phone lines real quick, man, because we lighting up like a mad dog out here.
Okay.
Let's go to our first caller, 219-1065. Your mic is live. Who we got? Uh-oh. You there? 219-1065. Hello? Going once? Hello?
They might have put their phone on mute.
That's okay. I'll put them on mute. We'll go back to them. Go to our next caller, 773. Oh, Big Will, what's up? What's going on, Big Will?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, Big Will, how you doing, partner?
What's up, man?
What's happening, son? All right, hey, sign me up. I'm on the Average Joe team.
Oh, baby, you know you was getting the shit no matter what, man. I was sending one out to you anyway. you knew you was getting one.
Hey, Will.
Yeah, I knew. Yo.
Hey, bro, what's your take on this? Do you think that, you know, we can? I mean, we're the Average Joe guy, okay? I mean, do you think that we can really? I mean, we have a position in this grudge racing, but I mean, my personal thing, I don't think we're getting exposed enough, or guys are not saying, you know, I don't want to do it, or the other guys who do want to do it.
Well, I believe what's happening is the big dollar bets is overtaking the Average Joe bet. But right now, Lena has a lot of nice races locked in, but that's just that one race. But to continue day to day, week to week, it's the Average Joe's race that's happening. And everybody, a lot of people, you know, if you ain't saved up $2,000, $3,000, they try not to race. But it's starting to come out with an Average Joe racer. You got you $300, $400, $500. You can go racing. So a lot more guys going to start taking that bet, and it's going to get a little more popular, I believe.
Yeah, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and it's not to take away from anybody else. It's actually to get more people racing. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what keeps the sport going.
I got one other question for you guys. Say, for instance, we're going down south. Okay, you got a little bit of a travel, but I feel like if I know I'm going, I don't mind locking up with a guy for $100, $200, you know, because I know I'm going regardless.
Right, exactly.
Is that a major thing that we should look out for? I mean, me personally, I think if I'm going, I'm going.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't, but at the same time, though, if somebody breaks or somebody can't make it or, you know, along those lines, it's kind of hard to do something like that, you know?
Yeah, but if you look at it this way, too, you're not really locked in for a bunch of money. I mean, you say you're locking in a guy from down south for $100. He's there, but you're traveling there. You kind of see what I'm saying? So you got more expense, but if you accept the $100 bet, I mean, block in, you know, why not go?
I mean, but if you're going anyway, what's the difference? They're like, KO, you coming from California. No, you ain't going to lock in for no $100. But if you're going
anyway,
you coming down here anyway, it doesn't matter. You know,
it's
not like you was going anyway. So you lock in with me. I'm from Chicago. You from California. We both making a trip. If we don't make it, one of us don't make it, it's $100, $200, whatever.
Hey, Will.
Will,
you did answer a good question, but I got another good question for us. Say, for instance, Will going, right? And I said, well, Will, I'm not taking my car, but I'm going to go with you and work with you if you don't mind. I'm going to help on the bet money. Is that
also
a good thing to do? I mean, but I have this thing, too. This is me personally. This is my personal opinion. If I go bet on Will and Will wins, Will just made me double my $300 up. I made $6. This is me personally. I'm going to give Will 30% of that money. Because if it wasn't for Will, I wouldn't have won that money. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying no one else has to do it.
Well, I understand what you're saying. They've been debating about that here lately, too. And I do respect what some of the guys are saying. Like I say, I'm an Average Joe. I bet $50, $100. I'm saying my limitations. But they saying if you want to bet $500,000, you have to get in on the pot. And that's when you sort of pay out the percentage-wise. But I don't know.
Well,
I set mine on the side.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
if I want to kick in with you, I kick in with you. You know, if I want to throw out something. Some of the guys pass around a chip bucket. Hey, man, put something on the gas, the nitrous for the next round or whatever. That's cool.
Exactly.
Too, you know, but I don't know. I respect what you're saying, though. It's just
It's an obligation. I don't think it's an obligation. I just think, would you have won that money if it wasn't for that man? I mean, he stuck thousands and thousands of dollars in his car. Don't you think it'd be a nice gesture to say, hey, man, here go $100?
It's a double-edged sword. Let me ask you this question, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm driving the car and you're betting on me and I lose, do I have to give you some money for betting on me?
Nope, because I lost with you. I go up with you. I come up with you. I go down with you. That's just my, you know, that's my personal opinion.
I agree. I mean, I don't think it's something that you have to do.
I think out of, you know, say for instance, you know, I'm betting with you guys. My car's not there, but I'm sitting here and I'm walking away with. I'm just giving a scenario, and you guys quote me or anything I'm saying wrong. And I'm not saying people have to do this, but I'm walking away with $2,000 betting with you guys, and I don't have a decency to walk up and say, hey, man, here go $200 between the two of y'all. I mean, here go $200, here go $200. I'm still in the plus. But you know what? I know Will's going to make that next race. I know Taylor's going to make that next race because they got a couple dollars to help them out.
Well, that's cool. Like you're saying, those sort of your guys, and you try to look out like that. But like you said, with no obligation. You should get in just, you know, being nice. Because, like Will say, though, but if you lose, then what? So, you know, ain't nobody giving you nothing back. So that's when the obligation sort of feels different. But if you just volunteer in a couple of $100, you know, throw the guy, that's nice. We used to bet in the bleachers, in the stands.
We
used to bet on guys in the stand, and they pull out a good one for us. We go into their pit. They even know we bet it and give them something. You know, so it has been won. You know, you just, because you appreciate the win, you know. The guy didn't know we were getting nothing. So it's just a little tip. But as far as obligation,
you know, I'll say something, Will, and I can't remember, Kevin, maybe you'll remember who it was. I just don't remember the guy's name. When I drove out to Milan with the Vega, and, you know, I met a lot of people when I was out there. You know, there was a few guys that got together. I think they got like $600 together, and they wanted to give it to me for gas money on the way home just for driving out.
Right. Well, that's
and, you know,
that's
these
beautiful.
Are guys that I didn't even know. I didn't even know them. And I thought it was, you know, I couldn't do it. But I thought that was really, you know, I thought it was really cool of them, you know, to throw some money out.
I agree. But that's showing they appreciate it. You brought some excitement to the track. They know you came a long way. Things like that. That's really nice of them. You know,
hey, guys. I got one question. And see if you like this one.
Hold on. Kev, hold on 1 second. Because right. My board, I know a lot of people want to chime in on this. But let's get some takes from these guys on the line real quick before we before you throw that next question out, okay? Let's go 706.
Will, stay on the phone.
4218. Your mic is live. Who we got? 706-4218. Okay. We'll go to the next one. 321. Oh, I know who. Come on, man. This number, I think I got tattooed on my leg somewhere. Larry, is that you? Larry.
Yes, sir, Tayo. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Uncle Larry, what's happening?
Oh, man. What's going on with you? How y'all feeling, man? Everybody okay?
All good, baby. Nice, and it's warming back up out here. So, I'm nice and good when that happens.
Now you on Uncle Larry. What's your intake on that?
I had missed out. What was the question on what?
We were talking about you know racing. You know when you bet on somebody, should you and they win, should you kick them back a little bit out of your winning at the same time?
I would think so. You know, since y'all are doing something together, it would be a nice gesture. You know, usually when a guy's on the sideline, not in the pot or something, then that might be a little difficult to judge. But if you're in the pot and you're helping out with the rest of the guys and stuff, I think it's a real good gesture. Myself, you know.
And then we also we kind of got like two subjects going. We're kind of talking about the, you know, average Joe guy.
Now listen. Here's a guy I want to go to that's on the phone right now. I haven't talked to him in a little while. But he's out of Detroit, and he'll understand what I'm talking about. And I think if anybody is an average Joe guy, this guy's it. I he gets one of my votes for it.
Yeah, man, hold on. I'm here.
I said I'm here. Give me a second. I'm gonna stay on mute. And I'm gonna come back on. I'm putting my dog up.
All right. I'll leave your mic open.
Yeah, leave my mic open. As soon as I put your dog up, I'm gonna come right on.
Okay.
All right.
What I call an average Joe is someone who doesn't have a 4 second car, a 5 second car, but wants a grudge race. You know, because a lot of those guys in the stands that come out to the races probably want to engage. But they don't have cars like that.
But also, Two-Tail, they could have that range of car. But that guy, he's working on his own budget. He doesn't have any. You know, he's his own guy. You know what I'm saying? So he might be able to bet that $1,000. He might bet $700. He might bet $500, $400. You know what I mean? We just say you can have an average Joe can have whatever he's got. It's not if he's slow, fast, or what. We just talking about what your pocket can afford for you to do.
Hey, Tao.
Yes, sir.
My intake on that is that it don't matter. I mean, just because a person is budgeted, it doesn't put them in any different class. What puts you in a different class is you got a car that's quicker than the other. Everybody, I don't care if you go to me. I'm talking about my own personal opinion now. To me, everybody that's participating is important. You know, so all of us are average Joes, you know,
right.
But I don't, you know, because a guy's quicker, there's no reason for a guy that's not as fast as him for people to look down and put him in an average Joe class. You know what I'm saying?
No, Larry, you're getting
more.
Let me explain. It's not that who's quicker, it's how much money you have. Some guys might not be able to lock in a race on $2,000 or better, but they got $800 to $1,200 they can lock in a race for.
It's not about
fast. Who's fast and who's slow? It's how much you can lock in for. That's all.
Afford to lock in. In other words, what you're saying.
Right.
All the other guys, them, you know, a lot of big shots, they betting $5,000, $3,000.
Right.
We're talking about average bet where we can stay and lock in $100, bet a $200, $300, $500, something like that.
Right, okay. And it makes the fans, you know, does it help our fan base too?
I can't understand. No, at first I didn't understand. I thought you were saying something else. I understand exactly what you're saying now.
I just want
more
guys on the track.
Yeah.
You know how it is, Larry. A lot of these guys can't bet them big bucks. They got cars,
exactly.
You know, decent cars. But, you know, you just can't run it up like that. I can't bet no $15,000, $2,000. You know, I bet you $500 what I can stand, you know.
That's right.
But I believe it's a good deal because it keeps the racing going because ain't everybody's not betting them $3,000 every week, you know. So you might get one or two out there at the track this week, but on the average, it's the average guy betting them a couple of hundred, $300, $400, you know what they can say.
Right. What's convenient for you.
Exactly.
So, Uncle Larry, can I ask you a question? My question is, should a guy punk you out because even though you want to run him, and he says, oh, no, I want to make the bet $1,000, but you only got $400, $500, or, you know, whatever you got?
Well, that's just somebody who don't want to race.
That's what that is.
A lot of times, them guys, they don't really want to race no way. I mean, don't get me wrong, some guys don't want to turn their cars all the way up because they figure if they're going to blow their motor, they want to blow it for $4,000 or $5,000. But still,
right,
you're shaking it down. Right, you're still shaking it down, though you're making passes, hit passes. So, I mean, you're still making passes. So, I remember Tate used to say it best. He's trying to get paid. He don't care what. He'd run for $200, $300, then he'd run for $10,000. You know, he's trying to get paid. So.
Tate did say that. Tate did say that. He's trying to get paid, trying to make some money. So, thank you for that. But Will, I got a question for you.
Yeah, wait, hold on, Kev. Hold on, man. Slow down.
Hold on one second. Hey, Drag, you there, Drag?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey.
Hey, Drag, what's happening?
Go ahead and chime in on this. Go ahead and chime in on this, Drag. Tell me what you think.
What up, big guy?
What up, y'all? What's up, Drag? What up, good lad? Everybody else? I think I consider myself as an average Joe, you know. I don't know what other people think of me, but that's what I consider myself as.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one that do have, you know, a nice car and a fast car, but I'm in the budget range for betting, you know what I'm saying? I'm average probably, you know, my car, if I got the money, I bet a couple thousand, just if I have it, but I probably have it less than I do. So my average bet probably would be $500 to $1,000 on something of my own stuff. I try to bet most with my stuff, the most money with my own stuff or, you know, a car that I'm really affiliated with. But I bet $200, $300 on, you know, just anybody, you know, if I think I can win. But I think that a person should give the car owner something of what they win, and especially when they bet in the pot. Now, they don't have to give none of their money up if they're betting on the side. You know, that's just a call on their part to do that if they feel like they want to give them something for winning with them. But I think it should be an obligation if somebody's betting in the pot to throw something back. If, you know, you win $100, it don't matter if you throw, don't throw nothing back but $15, $10 or $15. That's something, you know, towards the expenses of the vehicle. You know, man.
Yeah.
As losing, you know, nobody gets nothing when you lose. You know, we all know
right.
that. Everybody loses if you lose a race. But there used to be back in the 70s when I first started racing, especially when I came over along with some of my buddies, Kevin Lawrence and all them guys, they had a percentage, man. You had to give up, I think, 25%, or it could have been even 50% of what you won if you bet it in the pot. But that stuff went away. You know, I never charged nobody nothing when they betted with me. And believe me, I've done a lot of winning, bro. And I made a lot of money myself and a lot of money for other people, but I never, ever charged anybody or looked for anything. Now, people have come up and gave me money. Say, here, man, I won with you, bro. You know, put this back in the car or, you know, buy some fuel with this or whatever the case. That has happened. But it's happened.
You know what? I'll tell you. What, Jack, when I go, like, to the casinos and I'm playing craps and I win a lot of money, I'll tip the dealer $100.
The guy in the pit.
And you know, say, hey, I just made a grand off you. Thanks so much for the $100. You know, it's a courtesy. It's a common courtesy, that's all. You know, it's almost, I want to say it's how you was raised, you know.
Yeah.
That's your wear and tear on your stuff, dude. You know, you're racing, I'm betting on you, and you win, and you blow up your money, you know, and then the guy just says, oh, shit, well, at least I won my money. Well, guess what? You know, what's it going to cost you to get all that back together? You know, it's you help me, I help you. I mean,
yeah.
I've always given money, even like at the street race and stuff like that, if I bet on somebody, unless I was just betting on them and I didn't like them or something like that. But other than that, you know, it's cool to throw money back at them.
I mean, I personally, I'm not like Drag. I think Drag really addressed it, but, you know, I wouldn't have made that money if it wasn't for Drag or Big Wheel or Tyson O'Leary. I wouldn't have made that money. And my personal aspect is I'm a car owner, car builder. You know, I do everything by myself. I know what it costs to buy these parts and the travel and this gas. And yeah, it would be nice guy walking and say, hey, man, you know, here go $50. Like, hey, what? I just want off you, dude. Hey, man, I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
It's good that people will do that. But I'm not going to say that I expect it, but it would be more expecting if they gave me money that betted for the people that betted out of the pot. You know,
exactly. I agree.
And I agree with that 100% you said, Drag. I said I have betted before and was not in the pot and walked over to a guy and said, hey, man, here go $40, you know, $50, well, $60, you know what I'm saying, and say, hey, man, thanks. And he's like, what's this for? You just made me $150, you know?
I don't think I recall me ever doing that one, Kevin. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't recall me ever doing that.
I'm just saying, it's been, you know, times that I don't bet a lot, but I'm just saying, if I made something, you know, I would like to go over and give the guy something, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good thing, you know, if you do that. And like Taylor was saying about at the casino, when I did used to go to casinos and gamble and stuff, yeah, when I won, you know, and I done won, you know, counted my money and know where I'm at and still got money in my hand, I gamble some of that off, and then a lot of it, whatever's in my hand left, I just throw it to the dealer. You know, it doesn't matter if I win the next roll or lose. You know, I'm walking out
right.
the door anyway because I'm where
exactly.
I want to be. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I agree with Tayo with what he's saying.
Hey, guys, I'm going to go to lights, man, because my board's lighting up, man. People want to chime in on this. Let's go to 612-5859. Your mic is live. Who we got?
Down on your ass I go, Kevin.
All right, little man. Little man.
How y'all doing tonight?
What's up, man? What'd you think about that, little man?
I mean, it's okay. You know, if somebody want to get something back, that's good. I sure know I can use it if I get something back.
Right.
Tires, gas, and nitrous costs.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, your slicks and spark plug, everything costs.
Yeah.
I mean, would it be nice, I'm just saying, I'm not saying no one has to do it. Would it be a nice gesture if someone came up and did that? Would you have a problem with it?
No, hell no, I ain't got no problem with it. Get it.
Especially when you get something, when you do bet, someone might want to bet right on top, you know, right with you.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean that's a good always a good way to do it.
Kevin, when I beat you, I might give you something back.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate it.
Let's go 662-2224. Your mic is live. Who we got? Hello? Okay, we'll get them back on hold.
Hey, this is Melvin, man. I'm back on now. I'm finished with them dogs.
All right.
What's up, Mel?
Yeah.
Let's see.
You got it, man. Hello, Dragger.
Did you hear the topic, Mel?
Yeah,
yeah,
average
up,
Joe.
Kev, you're talking all over
G-Shot
right now. What's up, G?
Shit, another guy. What's going on?
What's happening, G?
Brother? Shit, nothing. Just listening to the show. Listening
good
to the show,
man.
We're at the slot car track, my little boy.
Melvin and G, what y'all think about the topic?
I think it's cool if somebody wants to kick back some money. I mean, a lot of times whenever I'm traveling with the guys, if there is any guys traveling with me, you know, a lot of times I'm by myself. But if the dudes are with me and I pay for all the gas and the motels and everything, you know, on my own, and they want to bet on a pot if we get in on something, you know, I'm pretty much forward with them and tell them, you know, man, y'all going to have to keep me back a little bit because, you know, these trips aren't free, cars aren't free, gas isn't free, you know.
My time's not free
when I spent the last year and a half building the car myself, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but a lot of times when you're doing something like this, you find out who's who, you know.
Right, you find out who's your friend, who's not.
I spent a year and a half building my car by myself. Not one other person, but one guy helped me for a couple hours one night, you know. The rest of the time, I did it myself. I had to put vice grips on nuts on the other side of the firewall, you know, everything.
Right.
You know, but as soon as the car is done and you got the bugs worked out, then here comes everybody that's wanting to ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon.
I mean, if they had been with me the whole time that I was building the car, at least just turning wrenches. Things, you know, I might go, well, man, hold on to that because you helped me get the car going. But, you know, I don't feel bad about taking no money off of somebody if they haven't helped me with nothing else. You know what I'm saying? It's just some guy that jumps in my truck and wants to go to the race, and he decides he wants to bet $1,000. If he wants to give me 15 or 20% of it, have be it. I'll take it, you know. Or pretty much, if they ride with me and I pay for everything, I say it up front. Man, if we bet, you bet $1,000, I need $150, $200 of that back if we win, you know.
Cause, right.
Because these trips aren't free, you know.
No, sir.
You know, this is not free. It's right. It's business. You know, you got to figure out if it's a business or if it's a hobby. You know?
Exactly.
When any time there's money involved, a chance of making money, it's a business to me. You know?
Sure.
You know, if I wanted it to be a hobby, I'd just go out and race for free, you know?
Exactly. You would just go race somebody for free and get down with it. But, yeah, I totally agree. It's an investment for everyone that's on the phone, I do believe. But I think, you know, what you're saying, G, is 100%, you 100% right. And Drag, you know, everybody gave a valid point about it, you know. And, you know, I just think that everybody's 100% right, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's like Drag's brand new car. If I, you know, I haven't even seen the car, haven't helped him, haven't done nothing. And if we're in Lena, Mississippi, it's not fair for me to make $1,000 in a bet off of Drag's. I don't know how many dollars. I'm just going to spit out numbers.
Right.
His $15,000, $20,000 investment. And I know that's a low number. I'm just saying a number, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, it's not fair for me to make money off of his total investment and his dedication without giving you a kickback in my eyes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be like if, you know, if I'm in Lena and Leroy makes a shot and they ask me if I want in on the pot and I get a chance to make $1,000, I don't see no problem giving them a couple hundred back off of it, taking the free 800 and giving them a couple hundred towards the car.
Right.
You know, or towards their trip or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But think about it. Think about this, certain extent. If you had some guys who would do it, just say for instance, and you said that particular, you know, 1,000 give back 200, and you got probably 10 guys that made that bet. That's, you know, roughly, you know, $2,800. That would really help that guy out to get slicks or whatever. And then when you go to the next race, you say, oh, my boy here, God damn it, he made me win some money last week. Shit, I'm going to bet with him again.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of way I look at it.
Well, when you treat a guy like that, man, he ain't gonna never have no problem.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna never have no problem with you getting in the pot with him. You know,
yep.
And when a guy,
he'll always
when a
ask
guy,
you.
That's right. That's right. You want to bet? You want to get in the pot, man? You know, they'll ask you because they know that you know, you trying to be a participant in what they're doing. You're trying to blend in and what's happening, you know. And that's why a lot of time I always speak on that brotherhood and unity thing, you know, because if you keep it 100 with each other, man, it's going to work out, man. It's the guys that can't keep it 100 is where the complications come in.
Larry, you said the right thing.
Hold on. Well, let me go to the phones real quick. We got a bunch of people. We got like 15 people on hold. I got to get to real quick.
All right, we jump them in.
Rob, you there, Rob? Rob. Rob. 310-9897. Rob, you there?
Hey, Greg.
Put him on hold.
What up, dude?
Greg?
What
you remember you remember what Harry Dog's thing is on the betting, don't you?
But it's Harry Dog got so much stuff he say and do.
Shit, bet however much you can. What I can't cover, I'll have to owe you.
Yeah, dog boy, he got so much, so many different mottos. You can't cover them all.
Bet whatever you can. Whatever I can't cover, I'll owe you.
Said I owe you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey guys, let me get after these phone lines real quick. 847-1297. Your mic is live. Who we got?
Oh, you got D.O. times Drag Racist, not racing down, but I've been around for. What up, Dre?
What up, Lil Rada?
It's rough, man. It's rough. Hey, I see this.
Hey, don't speak that on your life, bro. Don't speak. I love
it. I say it's rough, but it's good. You know, I'm having a great life. Don't talk about a great life.
I don't even use that terminology no more because that dog, I found myself with it being like that.
But let me say this here. What we're speaking on tonight, actually, we got like three different topics going, I think, from what I understand. But this thing that you guys are speaking on, it says giving back. Drag and I know, we've been around, Drag and I've been friends over 30 years, so I can speak that. It's been tried. It's been tried several times. It's never been successful. What you guys are doing, whether you see it or not, is opening a can of worms. You really are. Because, see, here's the small guy that only got $100 to bet. They really can't afford to bet another than taking payments. When I bought my car 26 years ago, I bought it because of what I wanted to buy. I spent
right.
my money because of what I wanted to do. When I take that contract and burn my slicks down, those are my slicks. I shouldn't even expect no one to help buy me instead of slicks. Now, here comes Dre. Out of clear blue, he decided to say, hey, no, Roddy, here's $100, so I made $2,000. Well, if I decided to run for $5,000 and lost, I'm not going to Drag and say, hey, Drag, here, $100, so we lost. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to happen. So we got to look at this thing on a two-sided whole horse here. You know, everybody seems to be coming in on the same side. Let's go to the other side. The man.
Right, I think what we're saying, sir, is that if I go up with you, I go down with you, you know?
That's understandable. Now, see,
if
Drag take me, for instance, Drag take me to St. Louis with me, we ain't take a damn from the day. But let's just say, for instance, that Drag take me to the track with him. He pays for the hotel room, he's paying for the food, and I got $2,000. Then it's slutty of me to not want to give him something. So it sounds like
sir.
I should have been paying for my own food, paying my hotel room anyway.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I'm saying? But
yes,
for,
sir.
A man to, for a man to say, this is my car. For me to say, hey, this is my car, and I got all this investment, that's my choice. That was my choice to invest my money in that car. Now,
yes,
no one goes to the track and win off of Bob Gooden, Juan Johnson, Kurt Johnson, Edward, another rest of them, and walk up to them and say, hey, I want 2,000 in stands. I'm going to buy lunch for you today. No one's going to do that. So we need to quit fooling ourselves thinking it's going to happen here in the garage. And all we do is over the can of worms. And I know I may sound biased when I say that, but that's what's going to happen. I had a guy come.
Well, no, you didn't find bias from what we were saying. I think
really
we were saying.
That's really how it is, yeah. What you're saying is for real. That's really how it is.
Right.
You got a few decent guys out here feel like they want to do something for that person. And all that's fine. But like I said in the beginning, it shouldn't be expected. You know,
right.
Maybe.
Right. I don't think it is expected. I think it's not that it's expected. It's just more of a respect thing. You know what I'm saying?
No, the thing
is,
down south, they expect it.
Hold on a second. Let me say this here. It's not expected now, but as we start doing this, it's going to be expected. Hey, Dre, let me remind you of something. Big Sis, friend of mine, they started paying him for driving.
Right.
He got to the point where he wanted to get paid for driving because he
right.
wasn't working
right.
the staff and he started kicking him something just because he wasn't working. It's a friendship gesture. Now he
yeah.
got to the point where he felt he had that coming. Am I lying, Dre?
Yeah, that's true.
He got to the point where he felt he had that coming. See,
yeah.
open up a can
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But you know that old saying, God giveth and God taketh away? So
yeah.
it's like this. I'm not going to get on the microphone and say, hey, Drag just won me $1,000 and I'm going to kick him back $200. It's a casual
thing.
Me $1,000,
I'm not going to give my dad. I want him to give me some more. Because just like I won that $1,000 with him, I'm taking a chance of losing the $1,000.
Yeah, that's true.
We understand. We just saying, if a guy, you know, if a guy does that, do you? We saying if we're not saying that anyone has to do it. Do you think it's a good gesture?
I feel like it's a blessing because I've heard a few guys on the air within the last 3 weeks say they feel that they should have that coming by law. And that's why I think
no,
it's a bad job.
No, no, we're not saying this, sir, at all.
No, no, not
you.
Not tonight. I said a few weeks back. I've heard guys on the air. I don't think it was this show, man. In fact, I listen every night. Sometimes I don't chime in, but I listen every night. But I've heard guys on the air feel that they have this coming by law. That's why I feel like it's a bad gesture.
No, no, let's get that straightened out. We are not saying you have to. We're saying is it a good gesture, you know,
okay,
to do it.
I'm going
to
say again, I feel that it's a bad gesture just because, not this show, but like I say, approximately 2-3 weeks past, I've heard guys on the air say they feel they have that coming by law. So you open up a can of worms.
No,
see, all it takes is one man to start thinking a certain way, and it rolls downhill. Now you get everyone in the grudge racing world thinking the same way.
Right, right. But I remember, like, back in the days, we used to, you know, as Big Will said, we used to bet in the stands, and you walk by and give a guy a couple of dollars. We're not saying you have to give anybody nothing. You know, if you want to do it in the goodness of your heart, good. Because you understand what that guy is going through as a car owner, builder, you know, everything, what this guy has to spend. So if you do it, it's a good justifier. We're not saying that you have to, and that is wrong. You don't have to give me nothing. But what I'm saying is that what I think we were saying tonight is that, you know, is, you know, do you, if you did, you know, would you do it? I think I said, would you do it? That was the question tonight.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think we had three topics going at once from day one. One said, would you do it? One said, it's a good gesture. So I'm going to say this here, and I'm going to get out of the air. I'm going to say, listen to you guys tonight. I myself personally feel that it's a bad gesture because it's going to open up a can of worms, and I know what it leads to. One guy going to do it, two guys going to do it, then you're going to have a-holes. Because, I mean, we have this in everything that we do. You got good guys, you got the bad side. You're going to have guys that feel it's mandatory that they do this. Hey, man, you won with me. I built my own car. I spent $30,000 on my car. That was my 30. But I spent $20,000. That was my choice to spend that 20. And like I said before, no one's going to go give Bob Glenn a lunch. Let's talk about a couple hundred. No one's going to give Kurt Johnson no money saying, well, I won money with you.
Can I give you another scenario? Let me ask you another question.
Wait, Kevin, hold on, Kevin. Let me ask a question, Kevin. Hold on. Here's my question to you. If you do have somebody like that who's going to start wanting to get paid and want people to bet on his
car,
that's happened
already.
And want to cut out of that, isn't he just signing his own death warrant? Because if a guy like that is going to be doing that, I ain't going to bet on him. I ain't going to bet with him. So won't you lose money by asking for all these to ban?
Let me tell you what I've seen happen now that you said that. And Drag was there. He'll testify to what I'm about to say. We was on street. We was street racing back in the day. We was street racing.
Mm-hmm.
He won the race. He came to Osa's shop, which was on Fifth Avenue, and told. He made the announcement like, I mean, you thought he had a bullhorn the way he said so loud. He said, everyone that just won with me, come kick it in for that good driving I just done. See, I'm telling you, man, we opened up a can of worms with this topic.
No, that's being disrespectful. We're saying out of goodness of your heart,
Think about that is, there's so many different opinions on it. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you are opening up a can of worms. If you got to, it's Melvin, if you got to, you know, for myself, you know, I've been doing it for 40 years. I didn't look for anything back. I started out racing from a hobby and just enjoyed it. My hobby turned into something that made money out there on the service drive or at the drag strip and stuff like that. I never looked for anything back. If it was somebody had a heart and wanted to give me something, I just took it and we just moved on. That's all it was to it.
I accepted it
and things like that.
I'm gonna take you down to something else, man. You guys may not do this, but you're going to get guys that's going to call in and going to say that they would kick back. They're not going to do it.
And this is just my opinion. If I bet on somebody and they came up to me and say, hey, you owe me some kickback, I tell them to kiss my fucking ass. You ain't getting shit.
Right.
If you're that bad of a motherfucker, reach in my pocket and take my money.
You're going to get guys going to call in and going to say, hey, man, I think it's a good gesture that you should kick back if you win 2,000. But they're not going to do it if they win. They're not.
Damn.
You know, if I got a crew, when I was racing, we had a crew. It's like five of us. If we put aside $100 piece out the pot for the slicks, the gas, stuff like that, I think that's a good gesture. But just to tell a person he bet it with you, to you know, to expect something from him, don't let me bet with you. Let me say this here. I'm going to get out there. I want to listen to him. Let me say this here. Most of the time when you find people allowing you to bet in their pot, it's only because they don't call a pot bigger than they want to cover. It's not that they can't cover it, but they don't call a $5, $10,000 pot, and they don't want to cover that pot by themselves. So now they come and allow you to bet with them, and then they're expecting something from you. But if they lose, they're not giving you a damn thing back.
Well, and that's part of the gambling, but that's gambling. That's gambling. If I go to the horse race,
I'm
not bet on number two.
I'm not going to go to the race and get a horse and hay when I win from him. I'm not going to buy one barrel of hay when I win. Hey, man, I'm going up here and listen for the rest of the night. You guys have a good one.
Hey, you
thanks, Colin.
Come on.
I just want to speak on that average draw, on the average draw thing right quick. Then I'm gonna go back on mute myself. Now I think the average draw is the guy that keeps the drag strip going. You know what I'm saying? Those guys that race week in and week out, those are the guys that's keeping that drag strip open. You know what I'm saying? So we are famous and everything else like that. It's just nowadays, this you know I don't have anything against the Grudge Inc. world or anything like that, but they're doing a real good thing. But then we got our guys that do all the photographing and everything like that, and he's walking around looking for that big, you know, humongous race so that he can film that. And, you know, hey, look at this money. I'm filming this and this big guy, stuff like that. But our average Joe guy is what's got drag racing where it is today, this Grudge Racing thing that's going on today, because we got guys that race here on my end, and like for True Blue and boys like that, they not going to race but for $200. And when they put that race on for that $200 that they put, they, when they come to the track, they know, I'm going to bet you $200, and that's it. I'm not going $500, I'm not going $1,000. But when they put that $200 race on, that's one of the best races that we got going on there at the track strip, because they come to the track to race, you know, and to have a good time.
Exactly.
So our average Joe guys, we carrying a lot on this grudge thing that's going on out here in the world. So we're not being left out. Maybe we should just get us some photographers that just deal strictly with the small guy and put him out there like they putting the big guy out there, and then, you know, we can close the gap on this and keep it moving forward.
Let me stop you for a minute, Melvin. Let's see what you're saying. I don't agree with, because you say the big guy and the average Joe. Does it make it because the dude bet 200, he's less than the dude that can bet 5,000?
Exactly. No, there's no difference at all. There's no difference in none of us. We all equal.
Everybody is an average Joe, in my opinion. There's no celebrities.
Right.
One person, I started off with a 17-second car, bro. You know, but it took me.
I was in the same boat. That's just how I started.
To get to this point, that don't make me better than anybody else. Because
that's
I got a faster or nicer or newer, whatever the case may be, car, and I'm at some time able to bet a little bit more than 200. I am the same as equal as anybody else if they bet at $50 or $75. So I don't agree with that person being because they're betting less money that they're less than a person that's betting more money or a person that's got a faster car. Dude, we ran our new trucks. We ran our women's cars against guys on the street for $100 at a time. We run them at times for $2,000 at a time. You know, but these are regular everyday cars that we drive around every day. We were just gambling and having fun. But my point is that anyone that's going racing or doing anything racing, they just as relevant as the dudes that's got the pro mods, in my opinion.
But see, I think what the point comes down to, what they're trying to make the point is, the press goes out to the guys betting the 3,000 and all that. What they're trying to say is, when we betting the 500, the 200s and stuff, people are not talking about it and making it feel like, you know, these guys, you can't run with them because you're only betting 200 and 300. What we're saying is that the $200 and $300 races are keeping the tracks going, because if you go up to 41. You might get a 3,000 bet once that month, but on the average, it's the $400-$500 races that's going on that's keeping the game going.
But the all the races is relevant, though, is what I'm trying to point out.
I agree.
All
I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree.
The The big dollar.
And I agree with you. I agree exactly to what you're saying too, Drac. But I'm just only looking at it on the, you know, the small level, on what the guys go. I mean, you turn on when you turn on your YouTube or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You get all of those big dollar races, and that's what the guys out there that's, you know, videographing and everything. That's what they're looking for. You know what I'm saying? Like the $200 guys just need to be recognized just like they are. That's all it is. I'm just saying the average old guys is the ones that keep the track going.
You know what, Drag? I agree with you, Drag. I think maybe I worded it wrong when we started. Maybe I should have said referring to the quicker guys more as headliners, because when you look at those guys coming in, those are the headliners. Those are the guys that when you promote your race, you have this and this and this. So I don't want to say everybody else falls between the cracks, but that's the name. Those are the cars that you're looking for when you go out there. When you listen to the promo of Lena and all the guys on there, that's not all the races that are going to be there, but those are the headliners. You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
And you're right about everybody being the average Joe. I agree with that statement 100%. I think what it comes down to is what the money in your pocket. What can you afford to race? You know, maybe somebody can't bet, you know, 15 on 2,000 or better, or 5,000 or better. Some people just can't, and so maybe they don't want to bring their car out because they know they can't match those numbers.
But see, Taylor, let me stop you right there. That's the reason why I said what I said to Melvin. You know, anybody and everybody in the Midwest just about know who Melvin is. You know what I'm saying? Anybody and everybody just about know who Big Drag is, who Lil Tony is, all these guys. You understand what I'm saying? We're known in the racing community. What my thing is to do is to let these guys that's not known and ain't been in the game as long as us, ain't done as much as we have, let them know that, man, we just like you, bro. We are just like you. We are no different than you.
Exactly.
We're approachable. Just because you got a 12-second car and you betting 200, bring it to the track, bro. Last race, I'm betting with you if I think I can win. You know what I'm saying? I'll bet a dog on a rabbit if the rabbit got a dog will show any sign of weakness. You know what I'm saying? Like you got a pride.
Hey, man, Drac. Hey, Drac. We're going to let you go finish your sermon out tonight.
and that's what I'm saying to the fellas, man. We want red racing. You know, we've made a name in racing, Melvin. You have as well as I have. You know, everybody knows us for what we've done in grudge racing and the class racing and stuff we've done. I've had people say, man, I ain't bringing my car. After seeing the car that y'all got, man, I ain't bringing my car. I say, bro, why? Bring your car to the track, man. You know, we want people to know. We don't want them to think that because they ain't got, you know, a real fast car or a real pretty car. Whatever the case may be, they can't come to the track because they don't want to look like less than anything, but we just regular people, man. We regular people, and that's the word that I want to put out, man. You know, dude, believe me, I got
I agree to that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, I do, and I ain't trying to offend nobody. But my thing was just the average Joe is a guy that actually keeps that track going week in and week out. You know, just like the guy said the other night on there, the NHRA was looking at the grudge thing to go around all the different tracks that's going on around here, because a lot of the tracks ain't making no money. But that average Joe guy, they was running in and out of there every week. You know what I'm saying? He helped keeping that track going. That's all.
Well, I respect that what you said, Melvin. I'm gonna try to shoot you down. I just needed to make a point there to let everybody know. You know, if they looked at what you said as, you know, they wasn't welcome, we want them to know that they are welcome. And
they are welcome. Oh, I agree. No. This is what I'm trying to do, is that I'm trying to get these guys to come out to the track and bring their cars. They'll be racing.
Right.
They'll be you when you come to the track, and this is what Whitecracker told Chad. If you come out to the track, you drive all in, I guarantee you will find a race.
Yeah,
there will be somebody there to race you. You know, and that's the same thing. And that's my point with what I'm trying to bring out. I don't want to say the little guy, because that's just, I hate that fucking word. But it's like no matter how fast you are or how much money you have, There's somebody that you'll get a raise with, and somebody that you'll be able to lock in for what you can afford.
Well, you know, you're right, Tail. And in my opinion, this is just my opinion. There may be people that don't agree with this, but graduation is all about the gamble, man. It's about the gamble. It ain't about my car being faster than your car. Man, I wouldn't give a darn if you brought a doggone 2-second car to track and I can't run number four. All I want to do is cross the finish line first. That's what God dogging means matters to me, where I can get paid. It's about picking that money up. If you beat me, you don't hurt my pride, partner. You hurt my pockets. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what I do for, to make money. If I can't make no money, then I walk away from it.
Right.
Yeah, and with that being said, you know, my guys who trained me to learn me how to street race and everything, when I started back in the 70s, I had a 14-second car we ran around on the street with, and it was 11-second and 10-second cars in that bunch that we ran with back in those days. But my people who I was with, man, would negotiate that race. I found myself with my 14-second car racing 10-second cars, and we were still taking that money home, because after they got finished doing their negotiations, and my man was like, yeah, I'm going to put you out there. And then when he couldn't go buy that 14-second car, we went home with the money.
Hey, but
yeah,
Mel,
you're right. That's what it's all about. It's about that money.
I'm glad you raised that point, Mel. You know, I grew up in the same area you did. That's what we did.
Yep.
And, just a few weeks ago, and D is on mute right now. D is testing it. It was a conversation about these guys wanting to make you take your wheelie bars off. No, you got a bigger tire than me. You got an F3 when I got an F2. You got nitrous, I got horsepower. What we done back in the days as street racers, if you had more of a car than what we feel we had and we knew you was faster, we asked for a handicap. Give
That's
us a spot. You could have brought a top tier Drex out there. Okay, well, give me 50 cars on the break, whatever the case
and
is.
And we going to run
you. You bring your bad behind on behind me. That's what the equalizer. Now the equalizer is to take your car apart. And those are things that I don't agree with. Talking about taking
your
wheelie
bar. No, I don't agree with that neither.
You know,
I don't agree with that neither.
Man, that's these new age races, though, bro. A lot of people ask me, how you going to go run them guys over there? They got 3 or 4 stages on you. You ain't got none on. I say they got to make it right. If they don't make it right, I'm mad enough to tell you I can't run you, bro. You too stout for me.
Yes.
You know, I got a non-nitrous car. I got a horsepower car. If you show any sign of weakness, though, you got the nitrous on, I'm going to be on your behind. But if you look a little bit too stout for me, then I'm going to ask you for something. If you don't give me what I need or what I feel that I need to get away with it, then I'll move on to the next man.
Right.
Hey, Drake and Melvin. In that sense, we got two legends on the phone that did street racing and came up in the ranks. But the question is, you know, like y'all said, I feel the same with you guys. You know, make it right and let's run. If a guy keep beating on his chest, you know, and you say, hey, man, it's done, over with, I'm not going to race you. I mean, should it be done, over with, or just, you know, that guy faster one just keep beating up on you? Walk away.
That ain't, you don't lose a dime. You don't lose no money out your pocket. You don't do nothing stupid. Let a bug person get in your head. That's what the game is about, the street game. To get in the doctor's head and make him do something crazy or make him panic or do something wrong in the driver's seat.
I'd stay out until I got my race. I let him keep jawing until he gave me my race.
That's right, exactly. Let me tell you what happened to me one time, and D attested this as well. Everybody from Illinois ever know. There's a guy named James Smith, a friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine. He raced Mopar, we raced Chevy. Had a real fast Mopar back in the days in the 80s. And I had a Camaro that him and I were supposed to run. Well, I had a problem with my carburetor on my Camaro. But I also had a little 68 Malibu that I used to cruise the street with. Fast, real fast. Nobody knew how fast it was. So this was the trick that we did to put up to go over there to James' house. We could not run my Camaro because it was broke. So we drove, put some street tires on my Chevelle and drove it over to James' house and told him that we wasn't going to be able to run. We already knew that James was going to say, well, what you want with this junk? And sure as I tell you, he said, well, what y'all want with this junk right here? I said, oh, man, this is a street car. We can't run you, man. Just name it what you want. I said, give me 25 in the bus. He said, you got it. He gave me 25 in the bus, partner. God, dog, he's still chasing me. That old boot I had back in the 1985 would run 1040 on one stage of nitrous back then. You understand what I'm saying? And he had a 930 car, give me 25 in the bus, so y'all know what happened. But I'm just saying it's all about trying to get what you want. You know, if you can't get the spot that you need, then move on. They can talk about my mama. I don't give a darn. You ain't got no money out of my pocket. You ain't gonna win my money and talk about my mama.
Right. Exactly. No, man, I just, if someone kept wanting to race me, I would make the race so outrageous and just, you know, get on him. Hey, your car's so fast, you ain't giving me my race, go away. When you're ready to give me my race, come back and talk to me. And call out the game.
If you remember, he said to that, we used so far down in Fleet, Major Lee County cars about 3 or 4 times. But that was street racing back in the day. They don't race that way now. Everybody wants drag racing to be a business. It's not a sport no more for no one. You know,
well, they won't strip your car, D. They want you to duplicate what they got.
And drag said something earlier that made a lot of sense. When I was racing back in the days, we didn't ask you to take nothing off. I don't care if you had a 1500 on. If I thought you could get away, we raced. Drag,
right.
Remember this one? I went behind the amphitheater, Jerry and Rabbit. They had a 960, 950 Dodge. I had a 1050 Buick. He was giving me 70 in the break. He had some 1400s. I had some 1050s on. I didn't give a damn by this time. I feel like I could win.
Right.
Yes, he's busy. He made me recount the cars 7 times. He was giving me 7 cars. But the whole thing I'm trying to get is that it didn't matter what you had. It mattered was I thought I could win or lose. And the money, we betted what we thought we could throw on the ground and walk away with. Now
right.
Your ass want to make their life savings, and then you want to humbug behind it. See,
well,
that's drag.
It's going to be a humbug behind it, D, because that be that no-go money.
That
now, they're
no
thinking that they're going to win, they lose, they don't want to get money up. So now they're going to create.
We love drag racing so much back in the day, we could lose and turn around and let you have the money back. It was just,
we've done that several times. I've run dudes on credit before, man. On credit. We run
right,
for $4,000, $5,000. I'll pay you tomorrow, bro, if I lose.
Right.
Or I'll pay you on Saturday.
Hey, man, drag, you know yourself. It's been a race that we have ran. And we'll tell you, if I lose, come see you. Man, I'll see you when I see you. And you got to chase them down to pay them. It wasn't the money. It was the fact that I took something and beat you with it. That was it. I heard Bud telling me on something last night. It made a lot of sense. And, Drag, you remember this one. His uncle, Dwight. Dwight took a 12-second Grand Prix and beat Drag about 7 times. Drag had a 9-second bet. But he lost 6 of races, man. He never stopped going back in line with, I'm going to beat him. He can't keep getting away.
You're right. That GTO, I mean, that Grand Prix that they had, every time we run him, it was 2 or 3 races, we had a problem with that. They had him strung out on the skyway, 17 cars almost, and the car wash jumped off. They cruised back around for like 9,000. So then we run him again on Doty, and Mike them didn't feel a nitrous ball in the vet. The vet laid over nitrous. We lose that race. We took him to the Grove. We took them to the Grove that same week, and we run them for 18,000 and beat them.
Had
but
him. Had him beat everything with the line with him. He was
yeah,
bad.
Yeah,
he was
you're right.
Line. But just kept having problems. But the whole thing was that he kept going back because it was a sport. It wasn't a life saver. It was a sport to us. Guys drag race down like it's a life saver. That's
drag,
what I keep on drive home. Like my man was saying earlier, Drag, you were saying this earlier about 12-second car versus your 5-6-second car. It doesn't matter. Bring it to the track. Man, little man said something earlier, and I really want to say this earlier, and I didn't get a chance to get it out. Even on the radio show right today, I tune in every night. Every night. Very seldom do I hear anyone different other than myself, really, from the same guys that talk every night. They weren't the little guys telling me. I know it's got to be the little guys on the air want to say something, but there's never a chance. You ain't get a chance to get it. You hear the same voices every night.
That's what I said to Melvin. You know what I'm saying? Because Melvin is highly respected in the race game as well as the rest of guys that's been around. In my opinion, I don't get respect because of, you know, my name or who I am. It's just that, you know, how long I've been in the game and what we've done. You know, and the name is just a part of, you know, what the racing is, in my opinion. People listen to guys like us, you know, Melvin, or Mike Hill, or even, you know, a Skin. You know what I'm saying? Skin has done gotten to the point where he's become a veteran. around a long time. These people listen to us, man. I just want them to know, and I want Melvin and the rest of everybody to put it out there. Man, y'all come on, man. Let's go racing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Here's what makes you different, Drag. You've been doing it a long time, and I always tell these guys when I call in, Drag and I are over 30-year friends. We grew up together, so I can always use him as an example. What makes you different is Drag, the kind of guy will come over to your car, help you to the best of his ability, then turn around and get out on your ass with his car.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we have done. You know, we have done these things in the past.
We was outside racing you, and the police took your car.
He stole my car from the police.
That's right. We was racing you. The police took your car. And I said, gee, we're going to take that telegram back. You said, man, God, no, they right there. I said, that's all right. We're going to sit on this car and keep on pushing it back. Because he ain't paying no attention. Me and you got on that car and pushed that car back. And I said, gee, how you start that something gun up? And you told me how to fire it up. Next thing you know, all you hear was this, wah! And I was gone. That police looked up, took the lights off. I had that song on in second gear.
That's what Terry meant.
And I'm going to head to Detroit, And after you paint the car and everything, I'm going to go back to Iowa, make out with her some more, and let her see the car, and I'm going to head back to California, man. I hope she's listening right now. Candy, thank you so much, baby girl. I love you. I got my color. I'm a happy camper. And I've been waiting for you to get on the phone because you're gonna go ahead and shoot it, baby.
Well, Tayo, I mean, you don't have to do all that. I had Mary Kay paint here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. That's why I ain't touching the pink. I'm bringing the paint, baby. Yeah, make use of your paint. And I'm gonna stay until I can watch the first coat go on too, because I'm gonna make sure the purple's going on in the right places, baby.
What's going on, fellas? What's happening tonight?
Let me get some phone calls real quick, Patrick. We got a bunch of them, man. 4015. Your mic is live. Who's this?
It's Preacher Boy. What's really going on, man?
What's going on?
Hey, listen, man. I want to talk to y'all about all the races y'all were talking about. Listen, man. I went from zero to hero. I grudge race to death. From $100. To 1,000 to 2,000. It's because I love the race, man. And that's what the fun part about racing. But when these people got these outrageous bets, you bring different problems to the game, man. You know, how you going to race for 10 and 15,000 and that ain't your lifestyle, man? You put other people in your video when you do that.
Yeah, they want to race themselves out of a race. That's what they want to do.
And see, y'all talking about big fish and little fish. Ain't no such thing, no big fish and little fish, because if you ever look at it, all the big fishes don't look for another big fish to race. He looks for a little fish they can have them to swallow.
Well, yeah, it's survival of the fittest. So what does that say about a person who doesn't want to race somebody with the same kind of car they have? They got to go find somebody a second or two slower to race them head up.
Right. Yeah, not just that. You go to the track, you tell the person, man, I got 300. I'll try you for 300. He'll tell you, no, man, you get you some money. But your car, run around, take your same car, and run down that track for free.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to win that 300. That makes you look dumber than dumb. I go to the track. Every time I go to the track, I give me a grudge race. I don't care what it's for, because it costs me to get there. I'm trying to make this a free trip. I'm either going to make it cost me more or a free trip.
Hey, Preacher.
Yeah.
Are you out of Indianapolis?
Am I what?
Out of Indianapolis.
No, I'm from Chicago.
No, sir. I was asked the question was that there was a guy from Indianapolis had a Monte Carlo, and he was one of the guys who, I want to say it, that would race.
Katrina, right.
That guy is a good guy. I want to say, I thought about when he was, when Preacher Boy got on, I was just wanted to say that. That guy right there, he would race from, 100 to whatever. If he had it, he had it.
Yeah, they got us good. They're doing the game around our way now. They may have been doing something down in Indianapolis, but they kind of knew in the game around here. But they come and do their thing now. They did more winning than they did losing, too.
Right.
And see, y'all was talking about that races y'all used to do back in the day. Back in the day, it used to be plenty of money, and you had different people. You had people that you were not going to do and get sugar from back then. You can't ask a person for nothing. You can't ask a person to give you a jump if your car broke. They want something for it now. So
exactly.
You cannot base the past on the future. Everything is different now. So everything has expanded to the cost of living is outstanding, and now you got a hobby that's outstanding. So that people giving you money on races, I understand if you're betting on the sideline, you understand you don't owe the person a dime. If you're a part of the crew, you don't owe a dime. But if an outside person couldn't get his bet on, you got it on for them, it's real respectable to get something out of that.
I do agree with Lowrider when he said about opening up a can of worms, because
at a certain point, people are going to expect it. They're going to say it's almost like their birthright that they have to have that. So it's like a gray area. Which way you would go on?
You cannot ask the person that bet with you every time you turn that key on for a dime. But a person that see you just a winner and just want to get on your bandwagon, yes, you can.
What gives you the right to ask him that, though, Bree?
Huh?
What gives you the right to ask him that because he bet with you that's not in your camp? If he's not in your camp because you bet, what gives you the right to ask him for that?
If you ask to get in my pot and you ain't no normal person that's in my pot, yes, I'm looking for something back from you. Other than that, get it on the
sideline. Here's what you should do, Bruce. I'm going to tell you what you should do.
You need to stipulate that first.
That needs to be clarified, right.
Hey, right, man. That's right.
Before I get his money from him.
I get 10% of your money. Then I have the option of whether I'm going to bet with you or not. But see, here's what's going to happen, Bruce. Here's what's going to happen right here.
Yes, that's what I do. Let me get an understanding. That's what I tell them. Now, I'm going to say it point blank. Big Will, I don't care if he wanted to bet $10,000 with me. He don't owe me a dime. If people at that track, Drag, Big Will, two more people there, if I don't have a dime in my pocket, I come to them and say, hey, can I get this from you? They say, hey, preach, and let me go to work. You understand? Them people, I don't even consider. If they need me for something, they can call me.
Okay, let me speak to the host for a minute. Remember when I said just open up a can of worms? I'm going to show you something. I got $2,000 I want to bet. Drag running for $10,000. I go tell Drag, let me get in your bar. He's okay, low rider. He going to take my two. If he win, he going to hand me four. Okay, here come along Joe Blow, who bet a G-ball in Drag. Drag don't know me. I always use Drag for example because he's a personal friend of mine. Let's say Drag tell him, well, you owe 10% to the pot for me winning you this money. What's going to happen now when he turns around? Well, you didn't take $2,000 from Low Rider.
That ain't his business.
He's a personal
friend of mine. That's not his business.
You opened up a can of worms. I told you guys.
No, you don't. Listen. Let me break this down to you, Low Rider, which part you don't understand. Nitrous gas, all that cost. First of all, you're not a normal bettor with me.
Let me tell you what you don't understand. You got to buy the nitrous. You got to buy the gas. You got to support that covering because that's your car.
I'm going to say it like this. Let me break it down to you. You ain't wasting 10 years. You don't know how to go now. You don't understand what it costs to race.
You would think I was going to the can of work.
Preacher boy, you would think the right. If you would make that clear before they put the money in the pot.
I always make it clear, but, Jack, listen, this is what I'm trying to explain to everybody. If I tell a certain person you got to give 10%, it's not his word to say, well, you didn't charge him. That's not their business. I'm telling you before you get in my pot.
I never said it
all. 10%. Don't worry about the next person.
I've never charged anyone. I went down south.
I bet it with JT with that truck, Katrina. They wrote all our names down on a piece of paper and how much we bet it. Well, we won. They took our 10% of all our money and then handed us our money.
Yeah.
But it was well known it before we bet it.
You got all kind of
people in the world, preacher boy. And what it boils down to is this: if you go drag racing and you ain't got nobody to bet with you, see, then what happens then is you got to support the whole thing. You got to support it, get there, the gas, the nitrous, and you bet yourself. Okay, now. It all depends on this here, preacher boy. This is the main, I think this is the essence of it right here. It all depends on the individual, what type of individual they are. Just like Drag say, Drag has never, I have never been with him, and I've never had trouble during the period of time with him and three others, so forth and so on. But anything after it was over with, Drag didn't have to ask nobody for nothing. So it's got a lot to do and to do with what caliber of a person that you're messing with, because, you know, when you start going in different directions and you're meeting different people and so forth and so on, some people do that. I agree with you. Some people do that, you know. But it all depends on the individual. You got some people that's good-hearted people. You got some people that understand actually what's going on. And because they're given an opportunity to participate in this and that, they'll do what they feel, you know. And so will the rest of them, you know. But it all depends on the individual.
Hey, listen, man. You know, I've been racing for a long time. I look out for any and everybody. If something happens to my prison car, I'm willing to help them fix it or give them what I need. There's a lot of people now. Like me, put my digital track. I tried to run a person, my starter went out. A guy kicked the shot off his car because he wanted to see that race.
Uh-huh.
He asked me after the race. He didn't even have to ask. When I won, I kicked the starter off. I gave him $50 and his starter back. You understand? Uh-huh.
Okay,
that's
the
gratitude I got. He didn't He didn't want a bet. He wanted to see a race.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to see a race.
But see, you got to think about this here. Your gratification was that because he done that for you, he didn't have to ask you for nothing. He probably wasn't even looking for nothing. But because of the state of mind and because of the way that you felt toward what he had done for you, you turned around and you showed a gesture toward him. So it all depends on the type of individual that it is, you know? Because you got some guys that's behind you to push you in what you're doing, and you got some guys that are not behind you to push you in what you're doing, you know? So it all depends on the person, the type of person that you're dealing with.
Like I said, I've been racing a long time. I done ran into a lot of different category of people. I raced Bobby. I wrecked my car. And when I got out the car, I paid Bobby. Bobby said, man, you tore your car. Keep your money. I said, Bobby, I race you for this money. It's your money. You understand? He told me to keep it, but that wasn't ideal. I race you to get this money. I tore my car. You didn't tear my car. That's your money.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen other people act a fool. You got to buy me a car. You got to fix my car. All this other stuff after the race, if they collide, and don't want to pay the race off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, people. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
You lose, you pay. You win, you get paid. All that other stuff is unnecessary. People do a lot of different things in drag racing. And like I said, everybody put people on a pedestal because of the type of money you bet. You have to realize all of us are on the same level because we all going that 13-20 or that eighth of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, now this day and age is a trick to drag racing. Man, I want you to take your tires off. I want you to take your wheel bars off. Or you can only spray one kick. But when you went to that store and bought this stuff for your car, you set your car to go fast as you wanted to go or what you could afford to do. So them are the kind of people you need to be looking for the race. You know?
What if a guy, say for instance, comes to you and you know, you may suggest or you may think he's faster than you, but he's picking on you all day. You know, I mean,
listen,
you,
man. Now I'm going to go a little farther with that. You
No
disrespect. Listen, you be in school and somebody picking with you all day, you know how to ignore a person. You don't have to do what a person controls you to do. If a person is in your head, he controls you. That's your choice to ignore him. You got a million people at the track to choose the race. Just because he follow you around like a little dog, man, I'm going to hook you, I'm going to hook you. Let him talk. You ain't lost and he ain't won.
In grudge racing, can we say this? They say money walk and bullshit talk.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get your race, Kev. You want to get your race. If a guy's coming at you and harping at you and harping at you.
I'm just asking a question for the gentleman on the phone. You know, what is he, I mean, is that what we're saying? I mean, you know, money talk and bullshit walk. Is that what we're getting to?
No, it ain't about that.
No, I don't think so.
Listen, man, you don't have to have wood bars, parachute, and all big tires to have a fast car.
Right, yes,
some
sir.
People control their car to do that. And some people
right.
got that stuff on their car. It's not that fast. So just
right,
because you see other stuff on a person's car, don't categorize him as being fast. That stuff is
right.
cosmetic. A pedal bar is cosmetic. A wing is cosmetic. If it made any kind of horsepower, you don't have any wings and parachutes and wheelie bars a person has on their car. It wouldn't have no motor. Extra set of wheelie bars, extra set of parachutes, all that. That stuff is cosmetic. It doesn't make speed. You know, I've
well,
seen people
I,
take
I,
a
I,
big motor and put in a little car.
Right. But no, I appreciate that what you're saying because I've been saying the same thing. But, you know, some of the guys, we're not going to say up north, down south, or whatever. You know, you said the magic word, and I'm glad you said it. It's just cosmetic. You know, is it working?
That's not true, though. That's not true, though. Wheelie bar is a necessity. You have to have that on a race car. There are guys that's getting by without it. Don't get me wrong. Wing is a necessity. You must have that on a race car. There are people that's getting by without it. But if you get yourself in trouble, you'll find out that you wish you had those wheelie bars or you wish that you had that wing on that car. Okay?
Yeah.
Race car, listen, you mold yourself on what you see the professionals do. You got guys out here that run real fast on little tires. You got guys out here running real fast without wheelie bars. They pretty much set their cars to do all of that. You know what I'm saying? But there comes a time. What about some of them turbo cars that doesn't have all that that hard to be putting, but down towards the track, that's when they really go to pouring the power down. Not with no wheelie bars on it. But then they find themselves airborne at about the doggone 660 where that something's going to flip and over because it ain't got no wheelie bars on there. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not building a car to talk about not putting no wheelie bars or no wing on it. That's a car that's capable of going, you know, over 150 miles an hour. Just that, in my opinion, it's just a part of the deal. Just like you put wheels on the car, you know, you put an engine in it, you put, you know, racing seats in it and seat belts. It's a part of the car. That's my opinion, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Drag, I'm glad you said that. And, you know, by drag, man, a legend, been a racer for years. But I heard Daye told a guy one night, and I thought it was a smart thing I ever heard. The guy told Daye to do something, and Daye said, well, take your right front tire off. I'll race you.
Yeah. Well, he told him right, because they asked him the same purpose that right front tire carried on that car, Daye's Willie Boss carried. And, you know, I finally was able to talk Daye into it because he would let them dudes talk him into changing his tire, putting a little tires on, taking his wheelie bar. I had to talk with Daye on the phone. I said, dude, you run your car like you built your car. If they can't run you how you built your car, then they need to find somebody else to run. And I really think Daye finally caught on to that. You know what I'm saying? Daye has a fast car, and they know that. And they can't beat him, you know, with his car the way he built it. So now they're going to start that dog pulling parts off his car. You take this off. You take that off. No, what you
they're
need
trying
to
make it unsafe for him to apply horsepower, man.
Exactly, exactly.
That can hurt him. Hey, Drag, thinking about the next person's safety.
Well, that's always been my motto. When you take something off of your automobile, I feel like you're endangering yourself. Now, that's always
been
my motto.
But not only that, they put them in the stunt. They want you to put somebody else in the car that ain't never been in your car before. Let him drive and do that. That's not drag racing. That's not grudge racing. That's trying to hurt somebody, man.
That's trickery. That's what that is.
Right.
Exactly.
That's trickery. Yes, you're right. Absolutely right, Pritchard boy. You're absolutely right. That's trickery.
You know,
we all come to the track to enjoy ourselves, to go to the track and come home safely. But a lot of people just like, you know, trick people to hurt people to try to win a little money. It ain't all about the money. We like to have fun, man.
Hey, Preacher Boy, can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
Hey, Preacher Boy, I'm glad you said that because you brought up a valid point. If you were, and I know Drag, I'm not going to put Drag in this one, okay? And I'm not really putting you in it, but I'm just saying. If you told a guy to handicap his car and he got hurt or got killed, I'm just giving a scenario. How would you go home and sleep tonight?
I would feel bad.
Okay.
I watched the guy wreck his car, man. I called him all the way till we got back to Chicago. Then I asked, did you want me to go to the hospital with him? Dee son, I felt real bad because you can really get hurt, man. I was pretty ready to run into a building.
You don't want.
And that's why I think when you have your car set up, however it's set up, you should not have to take anything off your car. You should be able to run your car as is. Bottom line, if you don't want to race my car as is, go on to the next one. Hey, Brad.
Don't beat your chest.
Right. With your car at your best. The car is made the way it is. You already can have a freak accident. Now for you to disable it, you're bound to have an accident.
Yeah.
And Preacher Boy, you know what? I'm so glad Preacher Boy didn't say this because, you know, certain people are going to say, oh, man, that's a bunch of BS. But you know what? I've heard guys from, man, you got Willie Byers? Yeah. You got a 20 or 29? Yeah. But take your Willie Byers off. But Preacher Boy made a valid point. Mr. Russo, like I said, I didn't want to put.
I know. I don't want to take nothing off. Why do I want to see somebody get hurt? I don't even want that on my conscience. You know,
because you know some guys don't care.
Hey, Greg. Hey, listen, I gotta go to the phone lines real quick. But Greg, I want to ask you a quick question. You there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm here, too.
Hey, Drag, do you know anything about Mid-America Motorplex in Iowa?
It's in Missouri.
No, Motorplex is up, Drag, it's up there off of 96.
Oh, you said, you're talking about Mid-Michigan. It's called Mid-Michigan.
Yeah, Mid-Michigan,
No. No, I'm not talking about Mid-Michigan. Talking about Mid America Drag Strip. It's in Iowa.
No, I never heard of Mid America. I heard of
Mid
America Drag Strip was in St. Louis. Well, it was in Missouri. They closed that track though.
I've drove past that track before in Iowa, tell you.
I'm getting requests about Grudge Inc. coming out there. It's an 8 mile track. And coming out there and put on a show.
Is that Kakona?
Get him on the phone.
I'm gonna look into this more. Do you think we can get Grudge Inc. up there?
Oh, we can get them anywhere if they need us there, Tayo. You know, we got to go to the head though. What you do is call Jay and just form a meeting of the upper bodyman. That's all you got to do, and all of us got to get on there and make it happen. That's all. If they're looking for us, then yes, we're eager to come. But they got to give us the way to go.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, man. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was thinking of, because my girl Candy came up there who found the paint for me. That's where she's from. And she listens to the show and everything. And obviously, we don't do any racing up there. And they want to see all this. They want to see all the nonsense that we're talking about.
Well, all they got to do is get in contact with us. If they're listening on the phone, go to www.grudgeinc.us and sign on, become a member, and they can find out all our numbers, different guys' numbers, and get in contact with us so we can talk business with them.
Right. And guys, like Drag, we just said, get on Grudge. It's called Grudge Book. Please get on. Little man, you still on?
And Candy, if you're still listening, I'll get in touch with you more. We'll chat more about this, but I'm gonna try and make this happen for you up there, okay, baby girl? And thank you so much again for finding my pain. Yeah, go ahead,
man.
Candy
Cane, like Mopar,
we do come there. We got to have a good racing surface, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the main things that we stress, that the tracks have to be decent, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll check all that stuff out, Drag. And okay, if I gotta take a trip to Iowa, I'll go. I got no heartburn with it. Well, I'll be passing by it when I go bring my car to Tyson, so
okay.
I can check it out on the way. But hey, listen, let me open up some lines. We got a ton of people still. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hey, I'm sure Drag and everybody gonna agree with me somewhat, maybe. But this G shot, man, Grudge Racing really has changed, you know, in the last few years, and it isn't what it used to be. I don't know if it ever will be back the way it was, but it used to be fun, you know. I mean, it's still fun, but it's not like it used to be, you know. I mean, I have a terrible time adjusting myself. You know, the first race that I made with the new Shawanda was against a back-half nitrous car with me on motor. You know, heads up. And that's the way that we raced, you know, 20 years ago when I first met Dragon M. You know, and it's hard to change. And then on top of that, you know, everybody tells you, don't run this dude because he's got this reputation and this and that. You know, back in the day, you found out who the bad dude was because that's who bet the money and that's who everybody at the track bet the money on. And you tried to knock him off. Or if you didn't think you could knock him off, you tried to negotiate out a race to where you could knock him off and get his money. Yeah. You know, and you were the guy that everybody was coming after. But now it's like you beat a guy and everybody turns into sissies and don't want to race you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or if they can't find out something specific on your car or something, you know. I mean, I think that's really the biggest problem with my car. It ain't near as fast as a lot of the cars out there, but nobody has their finger on it, you know, and that's why nobody's really jumping, you know. Yeah. And I'm not going
to. Right.
I mean, and I say it all the time. I'm going to get in where I fit in, you know. And I know where I fit in. It's not racing multiple stage nitrous cars, you know. But if I think I can beat a guy, I don't care if they got 1432s on it.
Right.
Still old school like we used to be, you know. Grudge racing was great. You know, I remember, I don't know if Drag remembers or not, we were down in Hattiesburg and I had my old 62, which was raggedy, had no cage or nothing in it. And I spotted a tube chassis Camaro, the back tire, and the brake. Him on motor, me spraying. And that's how we used to do things, you know? Now, you know, that shit's just out. It's either you have what I got, or we're not racing, or if your car ain't fast enough, step up or step out. And that's not no good, you know?
Well, I heard one of our guys out of Chicago was on the radio the other day. I think it may have been Bud. You know what you call these type of guys, these new guys that's racing now, they coke doctors. That's what we would call them when somebody was, you know, wanted to know everything that's going on with your car or had a problem would not run you for whatever reason. They call them coke doctors. You know, they want to look down your throat and see what the hell is going on before they do anything about some racing, you know. And it's done changed from that. Like D was telling you, I remember D when D first came on the scene back in the 70s. That's when me and D really started getting to know each other in like 78 or 79. D had a dog on a 70 deuce and a quarter. He was a 70, 71 Buick deuce and a quarter. And full body car, photo car at that. And that dog, D would come over there with that Buick, man, and he would take him 7 in the best or 8 in the bus from some of these, that dog with Camaros or Malibus or whatever. And some of the races, D, that dog would warn him. You know, one his past year amount of races with a regular everyday car that he would race it on the weekend and take the slicks off of and drive to work every day. You know, that was when racing was racing, man. You know, this stuff has changed so bad, all these new cats, man, and hey, these what do you call it, YouTube superstars and all that stuff, man, these dudes ain't been in no hard car racing.
Hey, Drag, if you don't
mind
if I speak on this, I remember back in the days I was a kid, you know, and I used to watch you guys race from town to town, sort of that. But, you know, I was down at Doc James' shop a couple months. Matter of fact, before we left to go to, about a couple months, we left to go to Northern Valley South when Biz put the show on, right? And I just asked Doc, I said, man, you ever heard of Drag? He said, Doc said, shit, Drag come here in Detroit one night. Had a pro stock car and a Chevelle. You see, he took that everyday car. He and whooped my fucking asses up in Detroit. But like Doc said, it wasn't about that. What it used to be is to be, if you could work it out, race.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you give a guy his respect and give him what he done in the game. Like and Wayne, I mean Wayne don't owe nobody nothing.
I mean the the first time that I ever met drag was in Memphis, Tennessee, and we were trying to get a street race in the old Super Shop parking lot. So what was I asking you for, drag?
Ten and a break.
I had old Camaro. And that's how we used to do things. It didn't really, you know, I mean, it wasn't because we were sissies or begging. It was what it took to make a race happen, we thought, you know?
I can't
show up with my stock suspension car and say, well, I ain't going to race nobody else because nobody else has got 62 Dodge.
I can say,
well, there's that car over there, and I think if they give me the back tire, they can't clear me. But I ain't going to ask them to take their 1432s off and their three systems. I'm just going to say, man, give me the back tire and clear me, and we're going to do it, you know, or whatever.
I also go a step further, too. You know, 8 mile racers, you know, and I'm not, there's nothing against 8 mile racers because I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to get into 8 mile racers. But the 8 mile racers, you know, are just one way. They're one way. All they want to do is run 8 miles. They run 8 mile when we go in the southern tracks, and that's all they want to run is 8 mile. But they also, as well, want to run 8 mile when they come to the north. Well, we quarter mile races. You know what I'm saying? And they ain't no negotiating. The only person that did agree to run a quarter mile, and I got to give him his props, was Tony B. Tony B came here, and he ran Three Love Car a quarter mile. And if Three Love Car, the race was over with because I turned the red light on. But just say, if I wouldn't have red lit, and Three Love Car would have made a run through, do you know we would have beat Tony? And Tony took the run the quarter mile. Tony was freaking sideways by the time he got past the 660. So if he would have been out on me, I would have got back around him because he had to get out of his car. He was out of control. But he did take a shot at it and run the 1320. He is the only person that I can tell you that stepped up to run the quarter mile. The rest of them guys were stubborn. They wanted to run 8 mile and 8 mile only. You know, that's just like coming to my house and tell me what to cook. If you're a guest, man, you're going to eat what's on the menu. You know what I'm saying? What we have is what we have. When I come to your house, I ain't going to tell you what to do. So don't tell me what to do when you come to my house. But that's how they are.
See, some of you got to understand, though. Someone might come to your house and think they're having pancakes, but you're serving cornbread. So, you know, you might have to let somebody know what it is.
That's right. Hotel, we're looking for some cider.
Come on, listen. You got to love my boy, Chad. You got to love the dude.
Oh, yeah, I like Chad, man. You know, I'm the one that was helping Chad out when he was there, helping with the car, helping him in the water box and all that.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man. He's a lot of fun, man. We can't wait for this trip. Hey, guys, listen, let me get this some more mics, man, because we're blowing up. And let's go 708-1764. Your mic is live. Who you got? Ooh.
What's up, fellas? I'm just chilling. This James.
Okay. What's up,
Jamie? What's up, fellas? Just listening to Shade, listening to these good old topics.
What's up, Mr. Mark?
I'm cool. I'm watching TV, so I'm back on mute. But I'm listening.
Okay.
Though.
All right,
Jason.
Next time when you want, babe. All right,
bro.
All right, let me get to some more calls, man. 773-2322. Your mic is live. Who we got?
Hey, this is Big Ray. I'm just listening in. All
right, babe. You know what? I'm gonna leave your mic open. But just go ahead and mute your phone, and if you want to jump in, you jump in. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to 847-1297. Your mic is live.
Actually, I was not here when my call dropped.
Okay.
this big.
Oh, I got my hat for you. Okay, baby, yes, yes, stay hanging there, man. Let me find out what the background noise. If you guys, if you're not talking right now, just go ahead and mute the mic. Let me see. 219-0014, your mic is live. Who we got?
What's happening, y'all? How everybody doing?
What's going on, Lee?
Cousin,
Leon, what's happening?
Well, just listen in, man. I just listen to the good old stuff y'all talking about. That's all.
All right, baby. Well,
Leon,
Leon,
stay on. We need to open some more mics real quick.
Stay on.
Stay on. We need don't we need to open some more mics real quick before the show go off.
Okay. Hey, Rob, you there, Rob?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, hold on.
Your mic has been open, Rob.
Oh, I didn't know my mic was open.
Well, when the little voice comes on and says unmuted, that means that you could talk.
Oh, I would just listen to the show.
Oh. Hey, hang in there, right, because I've got to get some more callers in right now. 313-0178, your mic is live. I think this might be chemo.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here listening. I'm just sitting here listening to y'all, man.
Okay, baby. Just go ahead and mute your mic, Q, and jump in when you want. Let me see now.
Okay.
I got 773-8424. Your mic is live. Who's this?
Yeah, this kid in Chicago. I was just sitting back listening. Good evening, girls. Oh. Well.
Hey. Glad you're listening, man. Let's see. Let's go to 219-9726. Your mic is live. Who we got?
This is the wild man from Gary, Indiana.
What's going on, baby?
Rick, what up, baby?
Nothing much. And just want to say about the topic y'all was talking about with when Preacher Boy was talking. I mean, nowadays you got cars with small tires that's real fast. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. You know, a lot of people putting a lot of emphasis on small tires now, whereas when I came up, it was all about big tires. So that's something that I stayed with. You know,
but
I grew
up. They were fast for that time.
Right, they was fast in that time. You know,
but that time you got to realize a small tire car back in the days. For instance, Junior Griffin had a Camaro back in the days. Back in what, Rick? Like 86, maybe 87, like that.
And
that little rod, that real Camaro. Right. That thing could fly to have a 9-inch talent. I mean, a
9-inch
talent.
It
was flying. Yeah, well, sure Rick did. Had a boot. Drag had a blue boot. It had a 9-10-inch talent. It was fast. See, what you have to realize, you have to do the time for back then and compare the time for right now. $1,000 back in the day is not $1,000 today.
Yeah, that's right.
Those cars were flying back in those days.
But we also have to take into account that we're living in a different age too, Vic. I'm with you with what you said, Vic. I grew up where we had big cars on cars. You know, we had 12-second cars with 1400s on it. You know, but we got to also take into account that this is a new age, and a lot of these guys are knowing the game, and the little car is what they grew up on. So we can't really, you know, talk bad or down about that. But they got to also understand where we're coming from. You know what I'm saying? We paid
the
way.
That's my whole point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not taking away from the small tires. I'm just saying that, you know, nowadays you can take a small tire car and whoop a big tire car. It don't even matter no more. Anymore
nowadays, fellas, you know, this Kimo, they put a lot of technology into those small tires now.
Exactly. The suspension as well. The suspension, the electronics, everything that goes with it. You know, you don't just take a little tire car and go run in them doggone in the mid-fourth with them and stuff.
It's,
you know,
a lot of stuff go on that we don't know about that's making those little tires actually work.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with the drag radio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that's the thing about a drag radio. A lot of people don't know a drag radio is actually faster than a slick car.
I'll tell you guys, we got a big tire because it's less tire to drag down the track. But you guys need to remember one thing with these fast cars. Pro stocks are not trying to run 10-inch tires. There's a reason for that.
No.
There's a reason why they're not running tennis tires. And the reason, if we take everything out of the equation, take everything else out, we got to leave one thing in. That's what I heard a preacher boy say some a few minutes ago. He said, well, you ain't raced in 100 years. That's true, but that doesn't stop knowledge. You know, knowledge is more whether you drag race or not. Let's look at one thing we want to look at, nothing else. Safety. A small tire has no rollover. When that thing leaves a line at a 10-inch tire, when they get on big end, it's a 7-inch tire. When that 1400 leaves that line as a 14-inch tire, when they get on big end, it's a 12-inch tire, a 13-inch tire.
Right.
And so we think we
think we cheated. That's why I'm. That's my thing. I'm not putting no smaller tire than a 29 on my car. I don't want to hurt nobody because at the end of the day, I want that man who's driving my car to go home and see his wife and kids.
Hey Rob,
tell them about the class we got here, Rob, with the radial, the street radial tire.
The street challenge.
Yeah, tell these guys about the street challenge class.
It's a regular car tire, no drag radial, no. It's a shell tire. You can't put nothing on it. And they don't care how big the motor is, you just got to run on that tire.
Just a 225.
The fastest guy went eighth already.
This is on a tire that you buy right off the shelf. It's a 225. And the guy who in his Mustang went high eighth on a 225. Just speak tire that you can take this tire off that car and put it on your car and go drive around.
What did that car run for mile an hour? What did that car run for mile an hour? He went eighth with it. What was the mile an hour? Astronomical.
Call it 170 something. Call it 170.
Right.
That's why I asked it,
right?
154 or something like that.
I knew it had to be high.
Mine was 158. I went 158.
These guys, they take off out of the line, and once they grab their unit, they're gone. These cars just take off. And it was amazing. To me, I'll tell you, that was the best class to watch. I loved watching that class because that was a driver's. You could have one power additive, be it a nitrous, a supercharger, or, a turbo. And I'll get background noise.
Whoever has background noise, mute your mic.
And that class was definitely a driver's class.
Definitely a driver's class because those guys that had those slicks and said, "Oh, this is a class we just going to dominate," and they got in there, they were like, "Oh, it is not that easy."
Right.
Make the car. You almost
got to
leave it idle.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, Drag, what was you trying to say?
I was saying you have two things to worry about with your car. You know, you worried about first getting your driver home safe, and secondly is your investment. You know, you got a chance to lose a whole lot there. You know, it's a lot at stake. And a lot of people don't really look at it that way. I didn't look at it until I wrecked my Pontiac back in 2010, you know. And now I look at this stuff differently. I'm actually considering this coming up week is calling people and see what type of on-track insurance I can have to put on my car before I even go to Hattiesburg, man, you know, for on-track insurance. Because, cool. Yeah.
Hey, Drag, I'm going to suggest you do that. This is Kev. We put that on the green Camaro we got.
Mm-hmm.
It is most definitely. We got it through Haggerty or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, Drag, I mean, I suggest you do it. And everybody on this phone, please do it. You know, your investment may not be as big as some people think, but your investment is your investment.
Right, exactly.
Hey,
our second and tour is this coming week. I've been so covered up with just getting the car together You know, I haven't had much chance to do anything. Today is actually the first free day I've had in a month. And the only reason that today my chassis car, where the car's at, he had to go out of town. He won't be back till tomorrow. So I'll be, as soon as I get one, I'll be back over there coming with my car, you know, so I can take it to the next place.
Yeah, like you say, though, drag is the investment. You take and look at, you know, the gangster boo. Now, they done messed up. They done messed up a good portion of the year trying to put that car on 28s, which, they, and then not to mention, Tony Barron lost a part of his finger just to put that thing on 28s to prove something to somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, just thank God that Tony B turned out to be all right. But, you know, he's got something to happen to him. It'll go to his grave with him, you know what I'm saying? That thing will go back. We always remember that. But just thank God it didn't get there.
But you know what?
And then, secondly,
for Kimo, on the phone to say that, I mean, honestly, Kimo said on the phone to get to say that is that people don't realize, you know, the impact of that accident, you know. And it's like, you know what, let's go back and say, you know what, thank God he's still here. And Tony's wrecked a couple times after that, and Tony's still getting back in the seat. I mean, he don't care. I mean, I'm wrong. He's not saying he don't care. And Kimo, you got me right. He don't care. But it takes a lot of guts.
You can't say that he don't care. He just had some... You know, I mean, we all get in them cars and take a chance. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Tony's having some things happen, or he's running off the tracks that, you know, are marginal, and he's just putting down too much power and can't get down the racetrack. Y'all hear me when I do come on the radio, and any time that me and Big Chris talked about racing, you always hear me say, give me a good racetrack. You know what I'm saying? That is super important, man. And if I can't put it down, I'm going to the trailer, bro. I'm not too proud to pack it up and go home with my car.
I like to tell everybody this story. My cousin, we had a 68 Camaro and had a small block, and the car ran good. You know, it ran decent. And the following year, he was like, I want a big block. So, this was like 10 years ago. And we had an 04 Nightheads on there. It was basically, GM stuff, GM pink rods and stuff in the car. And so we teased him all winter. We said, Eric, man, you need to put a roll cage in that car. He said, oh, man, I ain't putting a roll cage in that car. I said, Eric, the car going to run fast. They're going to shut you down. So he put a roll cage in the car. His very first pass with the big block, he rolled the car 7 times.
Thank God.
And the man crawled out the car. We ran up on him. He crawled out the car. And modern throws, we still ran up on him. He crawled out the car. And he messed his knee. The only thing he hit his knee against the roll cage that we don't put in the car. He put a roll cage in that car. The only thing he saved his life. So I'm telling everybody this night. All that bullshit, you think you a badass man running with a roll cage? When that shit happens, brother, may God be with you. That's all I got to say.
Well, you're tricking someone. That's what it is. You're tricking yourself. You think you're tricking someone, but you're fooling yourself with these cars.
That's right. He is right.
Hey, Gray.
Yeah.
Gray.
I'm here, Larry.
Yeah. Tell them how fast you went through the traps on the top of your hood, Gray.
I'm the finish line. I went through the light at 173 miles an hour on the roof.
On the roof.
Oh, Lordy. I bet that roof was on fire.
I put the chute out upside down to try to slow that car down. That car was on the roof. It had to see it.
I'm going to try to flush you with power flushes on high. The other one said, it's cool. We're going to come out. We're going to flood him with offense.
What is that?
And he will wear down. My first staff are going to be so high.
We got somebody with some background noise.
I got it.
Rick, look at Daryl and Rabbit, and Daryl and Rogers. I mean, Daryl came on top of Roger. Without a kid, they both could have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
The car literally flipped over and came on top of the other car.
Behind
them. Both of those cars was pretty fast.
Yeah.
I got this thing is that I don't race no guy without a cage, without a cage. If something happens, I can never. I'm not saying the cage is going to save you, but what I'm saying is that I would hate to go home that night and knowing this man got hurt or that person, that woman got hurt. You know, and just you know, guys, think of safety. Don't worry about, oh, I got a cage in my car. Your car, you got a cage and I'm faster, or what, you know, you got my time off. It's called about safety.
Hey, man, one of the best drivers ever in the pro stock world is dead today because he didn't think safety first in Lee Sheppard.
That was Lee Sheppard.
He didn't think safety first.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like last year at Hattiesburg.
We all think that it won't happen, you know, until it hits home, man. But you got to think safety first. Don't get me wrong. Lee was one of the best pro drivers that we ever know in a pro type car. But that just lets you know right there, you know, you wasn't the smartest person getting in the car. You may have been a heck of a driver, but you wasn't the smartest,
right?
You wasn't the smartest guy.
I learned one thing about this whole game a long time ago, and the main thing is speed will kill you. So you do have to be safe.
Yeah.
This whole complete game,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? No matter what it is, roll bars, everything. The speed.
Yeah.
You have to be safe, because I've seen a motherfucker turn over in the pit. You know, a friend of mine, and this is a little bit different racing, though. He was racing drag boats. His name was Denver. And Denver invented the capsule. And what happened with Denver was licensing for another class, and he had too short of a rudder. He didn't change out the rudder on his boat, so he was taking some hits, and he let off, and the boat dipped a little bit and rolled and went under. Well, the regulator, he didn't have his breathing regulator on because he was just doing test passes, and he died in his own, he drowned in his own safety.
I was there when that happened.
That was crazy. It
was at Puddingstone. I was there.
Yes, it was.
Who
right.
is Rob?
It was at Puddingstone when Denver crashed.
Hey, Rob. Explain to everybody you was there. Explain to everybody what happened.
Oh, trust me. His boat was on a pass, and all of a sudden it just went up in the air, and it was in pieces.
So, Rob, I'm saying that, what we're saying is tonight, what we're talking about is, I mean, do you extend safety?
I'm about safety. At the end of the day, I like to go home to my family.
Yeah.
You can talk all that smack you want and this and that, but at the end of the day, my family come first.
That's right.
Hey, man, before you can put a car on the racetrack, you got to pass tech, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
well,
tech
hold
is
on,
for
hold
safety.
On.
That tells you safety is first.
Okay.
Right.
So it should be.
But some tractors deal with certain stuff. But what we're saying is that if you come with the safety, you know, you do the best you can to come with it. You know, I mean, these guys are running these cars and they'll have no cage in them. I think you need
safety first because. You guys laughing, but I seen a car turn over in the pits.
Right, it's untrue. Kimo's untrue. Yeah. I was there that night when it happened.
Hey, I turned around and said, "What the hell was that?" And the car was on its roof. The man was pulling the car, and they flipped the guy's car over. I said, "What the heck?"
Well, we don't know if the man was strapped in, you know, to have his thing. I remember that Kimo happened at Milan, right?
Yeah, I didn't know what the heck was going on behind me, but I turned around and the car was, I thought somebody picked the car up and flipped it. Like, man, what are they doing? Man, that man flipped his car over in the pit.
You know what I really said? Now, this is one dumb motherfucker. He hadn't even cranked the car up, man. I said, yeah.
Nah,
man.
Hey,
that's
Kimo.
That lick, man. That's that
hey,
drinking
Kimo.
And lick, man.
Hey, Kimo. We know you have a top contender car. Safety wise, would you tell everybody, you know, to make sure that safety in the car? I mean, you got one of the nicest cars, you know, that we on the show tonight. You have one of the nicest cars on the show.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with my car?
Huh?
Kimo's always gotta have the nice car. What's wrong with my car?
No, yeah. I'm asking a question, Mr. Russo.
Hey, Ken. Juwan's up for prettiest grudge car of the year. What you talking about?
Yeah.
Hey, man. I'm gonna keep it real. Drag got the prettiest car on this show, man. If y'all haven't seen Drag Car, when he debuted that damn thing down in Lima, it's going to be a showstopper.
It's going to be off the hook, Kimo.
Right. So what I'm saying, guys, I mean, we got Larry on the phone, Uncle Larry. We got Drag. You know, we're trying to talk to you guys about safety.
Kevin, I vote for Shawanda. I vote for Shawanda to be the
star. Shawanda's
a handful, y'all. Y'all ought to see his car now.
Yeah. Y'all call her Shawanda. Kimo, who's my girl's name over there? Martin Lawrence's show. Wanda, what was her name? Shawanda's my Nene.
Yeah.
Hey, she didn't play.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It looked like water stay running on it all the time, man. It don't look like it's dry at all, man.
Does it?
Yes, it does, man.
Yeah, I keep it locked up.
It is so pretty, man. It is so pretty.
Dale keeps his racks up. Heck yeah. Every time my car keeps dirty, I just bust out the rattle can red spray can and touch her up, and I'm looking good.
Let me ask some of these guys on here that have been racing for a while. Do you guys think that wax that you put on your car make your car cut through the wind pretty good?
Yeah, airplane wax.
I agree to it, but you know what, Kimo? I have my car painted. The guy that painted my car, he never rubbed it, he never wet sanded it, and he said, "I said, well, he got a race car." I said, "Yeah." And he says, "And this is me rubbing it." He said, "You going to show with him now?" I said, "Well, you know, I got a couple shows." But he said, "And this is me rubbing it." He said, "You want a can of wax?" All right, I'm sorry, Drake.
No, go ahead, finish up what you said, Kevin. I thought you was done. My bad. I'm gonna say
when he loses that it wasn't buffed out.
Kimo.
Yeah.
You know what I've been told? And I heard that Warren Johnson also
track fell off.
All right, you gotta get it back in. I'll get Drake.
You know what? I'll tell you. There's a wax that's an airplane wax out here they put on the airplane. I know a few people. In fact, who told me that was Carmine Paisano. They used to, back in the old days, they used to wax their funny car with that wax. It was an airplane wax. It was supposed to, I guess, if it works flying 450 miles an hour, it'd be okay doing about 280, 290 back then.
It worked for me. Remember, Dale?
Oh, you have the airplane wax on that? Yeah, I know what you're talking about, dude. That was. Don't worry about that. That was driver error.
Plane is weak.
Yeah, exactly.
The more paint you got, the more weight you add.
But drag car sure does look pretty, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful car.
It sure is. I'm gonna make sure I get some pictures by it, and then I'm gonna tell everybody back in California it's my car. They ain't gonna never know.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I ain't seen no picture of it.
You ain't seen pictures of it?
No, I'm jealous.
You gonna,
where can I see the pictures at?
You're gonna be surprised.
If y'all think
G-Shop.
Yes.
Tell Kelsey to can that wax. Tell him to send some of that wax out there so you can rub your car.
Tired.
Yeah, send me some of that airplane wax.
Hey, tell G-Shop, you got rust spots on your car. You got rust or rust holes in your car.
I got some rust spots. I just primer them up. That's all.
There ain't nothing lighter than a hose.
That's it. That's it, baby.
One thing about
C-Shot,
car, that
song
gun is loud.
Hey, G-Shot, I'm looking for a
72 Dart. You're looking for one?
Yeah, I think that's the Mopar I want to do. The 72 Dart.
Gotcha.
Got
one. Already got chrome molly cage and everything in it.
That one is a 72. We'll talk after the show.
All right.
But yeah,
hey, Kimo, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kimo.
Nah, you
a bad man. I mean, you're a bad man in our area, right? We ain't going to say it, but you're a bad man in our area, right?
Okay.
How do you feel about safety wise? I mean, how do you feel about safety?
How do I
feel about safety wise? You know,
no,
this is what I'm saying.
Sleepy.
Kimo.
Yeah, there you are.
That's sleepy.
I was trying to click in. Yeah, sleepy's there. I was trying to click in.
I've been on the show side. What's happening?
No,
I'm opening up
some mics right now.
I'm on here with D now with Lil Rider, Low Rider.
All right.
Now what I was saying with go ahead and open your mics and then I'm gonna finish telling Kimo what we found out about the car going through the wind.
Oh yeah, I want to hear this one. That's how I started to Kimo. I want to ask Kimo that question.
Wait, let me get some mics open up, Drag. I want these guys to
you
try here too.
Drag, you back here, Drag?
Yeah, I'm back home with Low Rider.
It's okay,
Big Will back here.
Okay.
All right.
Big Will,
501-0913, your mic's live. Who's this?
What's up, Sleepy?
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Sit back enjoying the show, man. Tail finally let me on. I started to do like Larry. I started to go off.
Yeah, you always do that, man. Hey, Sleep.
You stop that, man. You know we love you.
I can't feel. Sleepy, am I going to see you? Am I going to get to see you and Lena?
For sure. Definitely going to be there.
All right. First time talking to you, baby.
Definitely going to be there. Hey, Sleep.
Yeah.
Didn't he see you in Detroit? When he came out his way and we called and told you he was coming, Sleepy said, I'm on my way. Sleepy was there in Detroit when he came to come over and see him.
Oh, man.
Hey, Tail.
Yeah.
Hey, when you get off the show, call me.
Okay, I will, Rob. Hey, Drag, go ahead, man. Talk about that whack.
Okay. What I've learned from, and as I was saying, Warren said the same thing. It's, you know, you take a car that's freshly painted and waxed up real good, car goes through the wind, and then you take a car that's been wrapped. And it's something about, like, you know, a golf ball. You know how a golf ball has all